Go now before I lose interest.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
What's going on? Did you guys watch porn together again? Why do you keep doing that? It's always awkward.
People have no control over their race, for instance.
You think they have control over their sexuality?
Absolutely.
You think being gay is a choice?
Absolutely.
Why do you say that?
Because a lot of people who go into prison straight, and when they come out, they're gay.
What?
I'm losing confidence in the team.
This will be a good lesson for you voters. Don't merely pick the president. That's up to important people like corporations and celebrities.
And now.
Men over 40 can suffer from fainting spells if they skip meals and have high stress levels and poor muscle tone.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:34. It is Thursday, the 5th of March.
That explains a lot, by the way, that diagnosis.
Yeah.
About the poor muscle tone and the stress and the the bad diet. All of it, man. All
yep.
of it. I'm begging for it.
Bean faints so much.
Hey, it's Thursday. You mentioned that yesterday on the program. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Did you just remember?
What's happening?
You're okay? Saying hi. Just trying to be polite.
Hi.
That's all.
Bean, hi.
Back off, babe.
Wow. There it is.
Yesterday, Ralph was talking about the rule that is going in place in the Smithsonian and museums around the world to try to restrict folks coming in with their selfie sticks.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're knocking stuff over and putting them through paintings and whatnot. You don't need that. There's also something called a Belfie. I think it's pronounced a Belfie stick. Does that sound right to you guys? That's the product that that came out last year where you can take pictures of your butt.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I don't have that story up. Oh. But if I remember correctly, it might have involved the Kardashians. I'm not sure, but it seemed like it was on some sort of a pole, but it was angled at a way where you would kind of hold it over your shoulder and it would shoot you from behind. It's for people who want to take pictures of their butts, and apparently that's a popular product. Apparently that's
fantastic.
A thing that
need that.
Use.
Well, I have a pretty sweet butt. I'm not going to lie.
See, now it's time. Now it's
pretty sweet. Chip just gave you a thumbs up. So.
Share it to the world. What do you think Chip spends all day staring at? So it's time to get yourself a Belfie stick and share that with the world. Well, that was so 2014. And now here in 2015, there's a new product that might be of interest to the ladies, might be of interest to couples in general.
Okay.
It's called the Svakom Gaga Camera Vibrator.
All right. I understood vibrator.
Yeah. Camera.
Yeah. It does both of those things. It is described as the nightmarish love child of an endoscopy and a vibrator, allowing for a new level of explicitness in amateur sex tapes. So what it is picture yourself your average vibrator. It's the one that's been in all the media this week. It's purple, and it's about 4 inches long, and it has basically a scope on the end of it that has a light and a camera.
Okay.
And you would use it like you would use a vibrator, and it can record or it can stream video while you're using it.
Okay.
So you, for instance, can be you can be here and your significant other on the other side of the computer screen on FaceTime or whatever can be over there, and he can be seeing inside you while you use the vibrator.
Why?
Hold on, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why?
I think that there are some people who don't get to that level of intimacy where it becomes just a gynecological exam. There, for some people, they want it to be as close as possible, as in depth as possible. Their view.
Okay.
So this is for people who want to see inside their lady, or. I guess it's for women who want to use it to learn something about their own bodies, to know what it looks like inside them when they're using a vibrator, maybe?
No.
Yeah, I don't.
Or it's for men.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's no limit to where you could use this, I suppose.
Could you just use it? Like, sometimes I want to see if I have strep throat.
Sure.
So just maybe see if I have something on my tonsils.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess anywhere where you could put something of this size with a light and a camera, you could do it. I mean, that's not what it was designed for, but there are lots of products that are used differently than how they're designed. So you now have the unprecedented opportunity to be on the phone with someone's vagina, I guess. The spokesperson for the company that makes the device, they're called Love Honey, by the way, say it allows users to get to know their body in its entirety thanks to the remarkably clear footage this camera captures. It cost about $150, and people are buying it, and as of right now, it is sold out. One reviewer says on the site, the camera is such good quality, and the light around the tip picks up everything. Be warned, this toy is so much fun. So there's your, your item.
Maybe sounds I'm just fun. Not getting the sexy angle of it. It just sounds so medical. And
it does.
Why
it does,
would you
yeah.
want to see
I
that?
Don't know. There's a lot of things you don't want to see up close.
True.
Yeah. I don't think it's for me either. But like I said, I think there are some people for whom there's no such thing as too explicit or too close.
True.
So anyway, if you want to look it up, kids, it's this. You can Google the sex selfie stick, or if you want to, the camera vibrator. And that'll probably bring it to you if you want to get on the waiting list to kind of get yourself one of these
or
things.
Or the Buttfee. What's it called?
The Belfie.
Belfie.
And, I mean, you know, Mother's Day's right around the corner.
Sure.
So, I mean, this is the type of thing. You might just want to flag that and think about it when we get closer.
Hey, Mom, thanks for everything. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You are laying out a beaver trap, and I'm not going to walk into your beaver trap.
Huh.
All right. Thursdays, we talk to Jim Rome about sports. Very excited about that. We also have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Kevin Smith in studio today. We have your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness on the program. And we're going to talk to Ronda Rousey about
her. Wow, it's been a week.
About her 14-second fight in the UFC at UFC 184. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 552.
That means it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph.
Sad news. Daniel Von Bargen has passed away. Character actor who was in a ton of stuff. Maybe most famously played Mr. Krueger on Seinfeld. He was Jason Alexander's clueless boss on that show. It was very funny. He was also in Malcolm in the Middle and Super Troopers, Broken Arrow, Brother, Where Art Thou? If you saw his face, you would absolutely know this character actor. He had a career that spanned more than 30 years. He had been in a serious health decline after a suicide attempt in 2012. He was already suffering from diabetes and was going to have surgery to have some toes removed.
Dude.
And he was desperately depressed about that, survived the attempt at suicide, but passed away this week from complications due to his diabetes. So sad news, but talented guy. Very funny man.
Allie, you don't know this about Ralph, but there are very few character actors in the last 40 years that he doesn't know the name of. If
I
there's
do
somebody
love
who's
him.
Been in a lot of shows, Ralph knows who he is.
I kind of love character actors.
They deserve respect.
Yeah, it's one of my...
It's a little crazy. We'll go
one of my favorite subgroups.
1984, he was in this movie. Boom! He's got the name right there.
Wow.
Well, it is funny, though.
Those
like
people
this...
are the glue that holds together everything you watch on television and in the theaters.
Yep.
They populate the worlds that we go to see when we like
They're no Vin Diesel, but.
Well, who is Vin Diesel other than Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make a movie with just stars.
That's true. Unless it's Ocean's 11. They need this Chris Brown baby situation. I mentioned yesterday that it was the news broke that he's got a 9-month-old little girl with a former model named Nia Gonzalez. Apparently, they're not romantically involved, so don't confuse them for an actual couple raising a child together. And that there's no official financial agreement between the two, and Chris Brown really isn't spending any time with the child, but he's very happy to be a dad. Well, as you could imagine, it's getting much more complicated than this. There is a man who goes by Royalty Yaya Ba on Instagram.
Yes.
Allie knows his work.
Yeah.
And he has been raising the child for the past 9 months. With Nia Gonzalez because
he thought it was his.
He thought it was his.
Oh, Yo Yo Ma.
Oh,
Yo Yo Ma. It's Ya Ye Ba.
Him.
I wouldn't have expected Yo Yo Ba to be involved
That's
in
why
some sort of fraternity case like this.
Ya Ye Ba, people.
Sure.
She told him he was the father. Now she has changed her story and says Chris Brown is the father.
Guys, Maury still exists, right? Why are there any questions as to who
Let's
the father is?
Let's get them on, shall we? You are. Not the father. Royalty Yaya Ba. As if that wasn't enough, Chris Brown's longtime girlfriend, Karrueche Tran, she broke up with him yet again, this time on Twitter, with the following tweet. Listen, one can only take so much. Best of luck to Chris and his family. No baby drama for me. Who does that on Twitter?
Well, I mean, it used to be old school people used to break up via text, Ralph, but that's so last year.
Did everyone ever phone someone else or go to their face and say something and just keep it amongst themselves?
You're talking madness right now. What's wrong with you?
Bruce Willis is going to be on Broadway. Is that a surprise to anyone?
Yes.
Just mean walking down that street?
No, he's going to be performing in a theater on the Great White Way. He doesn't strike me as a Broadway guy. He strikes me as a what's the least amount of work I can do for the biggest paycheck kind of guy.
Yeah.
He is going to be starring on Broadway in a stage version of the 1987 Stephen King novel Misery, which, of course, famously was turned into the 1990 movie starring Kathy Bates and James Caan. He will play the writer who is hobbled by one of his all-time greatest fans and kept hostage, if you will, in a mountain cabin.
This isn't a musical, is it?
This is not a musical.
Okay.
I'm going to break your ankle!
That would be awesome.
This is a dramatic play, a two-hander between the actress Elizabeth Marvel will be Bruce's co-star, and this production will premiere on Broadway this fall.
Broadway's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah.
It's six nights
the
a week.
The most work for
six
an actor.
6 days a week. Sometimes you're doing 2-a-days, and it's paying you not nearly what you would get for a week on one of those big budget movies. So I'm surprised he's taking this on.
It's sort of a prestige thing.
Very much so.
Maybe that's why he's doing it.
Usually that's reserved for actors who care about it.
Yeah, well, true.
Bruce Willis doesn't ever strike me as that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But look, maybe he's changing in his old age. And speaking of actors, Hawaii Five-0 has scored a coup. They have an upcoming episode about three married men who suffer a bout of memory loss after a wild night. And the 5-0 gang has to try to find out what happened. Here's your casting. Three married men. Kevin Farley, Chris Farley's brother.
Okay.
Pauly Shore and Jaleel White will all be starring as the married men.
Is that a real story?
This is a real thing. This happened.
Huh.
How did they get that? Ever since the Love Boat went off the air, there's been a show that really caters to this crowd.
That's awesome.
Only these guys are.
I didn't know there was a Kevin Farley who was an actor.
Oh, yeah. He lives in a van by the river. And make some room on Eddie Redmayne's mantle for yet another Oscar. It's just been announced that his next film will be something called The Danish Girl. It is directed by Tom Hooper, who directed The King's Speech, as well as The Imitation Game. That's not the case, just The King's Speech. But in it, Eddie Redmayne will play an artist who becomes the world's first transgender woman, based on the true story.
That's got Oscar written all over it, right?
Einar Wegener.
I'm sorry?
And he will be playing Einar Wegener. The story of the artist who became the first transgender woman. Yes, can you imagine playing the first transgender woman in a movie directed by the guy who did The King's Speech?
Yeah, yeah.
Just start the music now.
Give it to him now.
We're going to play him off the stage in about 30 seconds.
And I assume, Ralph, you've seen the photo of what Eddie looks like as the woman.
I have not.
Remarkable.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got those kind of, sort of feminine features anyway, so it really works for him.
Sure pizza first! Burst!
Sure does got him. Like those features. Come in handy when it's cold outside. I don't think you understand.
I think we get it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ricky Lindholm. We were just talking about Garfunkel and Oates yesterday. She celebrates her 36th birthday today. Eva Mendez is 41, as is actor Kevin Connolly. You guys excited for the Entourage movie?
Not even a little bit.
It's a coming. It's a coming, boy.
Couldn't be less excited.
I believe this summer we're going to see Entourage the movie.
I'm excited because Gronk and Edelman are in it. Is this on?
Patriots, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Is Aaron Hernandez in it?
No, he was busy.
Is he busy?
Yeah.
Is he in the custody?
Otherwise occupied.
Of
he's
the state?
In the clink.
John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers at one time. He's 45 years old today. Boxing coach Freddie Roach, one of the legends. He's 55 years old.
He's an asshole.
I don't know why you say that about me. I don't have to say that about anybody.
Penn Jillette is 60 years old today. And musician Eddie Grant. Eddie Grant.
Yes.
Eddie Grant.
Maybe not hearing me. Eddie Grant.
We hear you.
67 years old today. Oh, come on. Let's take a walk down that street, shall we?
Electric Avenue, Chip. Get to it. Come on. What are you, 10?
Why is everyone standing around when I said Electric Avenue?
Steve was paralyzed for a second.
I
don't know.
Eddie Grant. Everyone should have been jumping to action when I said
sure
Eddie
why,
Grant.
But Steve was paralyzed.
There it is. Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Good God.
Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Good God. My favorite part of that song. I'm Ralph Garman. I like the Showbiz Beat.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we will ask you to call in to win your tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015. It's coming up on Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at noon, with proceeds benefiting the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. Great lineup. Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias and Ralphie May and Adam Ray and Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Realm. This is the seventh year in a row we've done April Foolishness, and it's a fun event. That's a good night, isn't it?
It really is. It's always
that
fun.
That is good night, and it will sell out. So tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon, and you can win them coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Speaking of buying tickets, the Grateful Dead are doing some more shows. How about that?
This was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, obviously they have slowed down quite a bit since, I don't know, their lead singer died. But they are back. They're saying goodbye after 50 years as a band. They came out with a little bit of a surprise announcement for We Dead fans a couple of weeks ago, where they said that they are going to go out in style by playing three nights at Soldier Field in Chicago over July 4th weekend. They hired Trey Anastasio from the band Fish to fill in for Jerry, and they're going to be doing basically a tribute to him and a farewell to the fans after a long, long, long career. I love the Dead. Kevin, did you ever see them? Did you ever get a chance to see them? You never did. Allie, how about you?
No.
No interest, or just could never go?
Just zero interest for me.
No interest, and my brother went to Humboldt State, so I got my fill of those people.
Yeah. You got secondhand Dead?
Yes, I am still high.
I love them. I saw them, I don't know, 30 times over the course of the years. I used to go to Vegas every summer to go see them when they played the Las Vegas
Bowl. Is this news to you, Kevin?
That is insane.
I saw them for years. I love them. Musically, they are great. And I know it's easy for people to make fun of this traveling circus around the Dead. I know it's easy to make fun of, you know, the people you perceive as hippies. But musically, they're an outstanding band. I'm not likely to be going to this show because tickets are going for about $9,000 online right now because they sold out instantly when they went on sale. But there's a great deal of interest in this. A lot of people are really, really excited about it. Now, we asked Dave, hey, could you find out more about it? And he lined up for us the manager of the Grateful Dead, Nick Cumberland, is on the phone with us right now. Mr. Cumberland, welcome to the show, sir. Nick?
What's up, man?
We had an interview scheduled with you. It's Kevin and Bean, K-Rock Radio, sir.
Yeah, right. I remember.
Okay, all right.
How's it going, guys? You're in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, right. That's right, sir.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet the weather there is great.
It actually is pretty great.
Oh, you guys are so lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in Burbank.
What?
Well, you're just, you get the same weather. It's just over the hill.
Oh.
Yeah.
That dawned on me.
So, Nick, let's talk about these Chicago shows. We heard some news yesterday.
The summer, the show this summer,
4th of July weekend with the Dead.
The Dead? The Dead are playing? Where are I going to get tickets?
You're the manager for the Grateful Dead. This must have been consuming you for the past few weeks.
No, but I haven't been busy for a while. Jerry won't return my call.
Yeah, he's
He's unavailable.
He's otherwise occupied.
Right, so I'm surprised you're doing shows in Vegas. That's awesome.
No, it's not in Vegas. It's in Chicago.
Field. Chicago's in Vegas?
No. They're playing Soldier Field 3 days in a row.
Oh, wow, man. That's a bummer. Soldiers, military complex, right? You with me?
Nope. It's a football stadium. It's where the Bears play.
Their Bears play football?
Okay.
That sounds dangerous, man. Do they play other animals or like people?
Let's just talk about the shows here, Nick. So
maybe less...
Yeah, maybe less than that, I think. You okay?
Yeah. So,
all right.
We're going to watch Bears play football, right?
No, we're going to see the Grateful Dead at Soldier Field.
The Grateful Dead are playing at Soldier Field?
Yes, they are, yeah.
How much are tickets?
Well, I mean, they already sold out. The list price tickets were $60 to $200, but they're gone now. And now it's just, it's a very brisk aftermarket. People are asking for, you know, $10,000 for some of these seats.
Right, yeah, okay.
No, seriously.
What? Yeah. $10,000?
Some of them. I know, because people want to see the Dead for one last time, I guess.
Dude, these people don't have money for pants. Where are they coming up with this kind of money for tickets?
Well, I'm sure they have fans all over the world of various incomes.
Dude, there's no way I can afford that.
You're their manager. You don't have to afford that.
Wait a minute. I know their manager. Maybe I can get tickets from him.
So, Nick, we heard yesterday on the show that Chicago PD is not going to allow Grateful Dead fans to camp out. You guys must be disappointed about that.
Yeah, because, first of all, what's a Grateful Dead show if you're not camping out, right?
For a lot of people, yeah, that's part of the experience. It's like tailgating at a football game.
That's right. You gotta just get in the van with a cloud of stink around you.
Uh-huh.
And you gotta make falafels.
Right.
And then, you know, you gotta hang out with other deadheads.
Uh-huh.
Try to remember the past 50 years and fail.
Right.
But, you know, we're gonna manage because, like Jerry said, what the hell did he say?
What did Jerry say?
Keep on trucking, man.
Keep on trucking.
Right, keep on trucking.
Is that Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, keep on trucking. What's that mean, do you know?
All right, are we really going to do this?
Or yes, we are.
Or are we going to bump it for something else?
Nope.
Since the last week of January, we have been trying to talk about this story, and it has always been bumped. But today's the day. We want to hear from you. If you ever found money, what did you do if you found cash? It wasn't yours. Did you keep it? Did you turn it in? What did you do? And the reason we started talking about this is a story out of Rochester, New Hampshire. Maybe you saw this on the news. She goes to Burger King, the drive-thru window, and instead of getting the sandwich that she ordered, I believe it was a sweet tea and a junior spicy chicken sandwich, instead of that, they hand her a Burger King bag that has $2,631 in it, which somebody obviously had set aside to take to the bank. And instead, they got their bags mixed up, and it went to the customer in the drive-thru window. So she calls her husband and says, what up? And her husband, Matthew, says they did briefly consider keeping the money, which they certainly could have used. But he said that they are Jehovah's Witnesses, and that Jehovah sees everything. So it sounds like if they weren't religious,
yeah,
maybe they would have kept it. Maybe it was just the all-seeing eye of God that kind of put them on the straight and narrow. Which is one good thing, I guess, about believing in God, is if it helps you do the right thing, right?
Yeah, we've had other stories. A lot of them involve, like, getting overpaid at work. Mm-hmm. And so where you're probably going to get caught. In this particular case, they handed her cash. They had no idea they handed her cash. There was no way they would ever find her.
Yeah, even if they had a video on the drive-thru window, it would have just been handing her a bag. You know, it would have been very difficult for them to go back on that video and look to find out which car it was that got the cash. And even if you did, then what are you going to do?
How do you prove that was it?
How do you track those people down and stuff like that? We see stories like this all the time. There was that story that was in the news last year, I want to say. Maybe you guys remember this, about that guy who bought a house in Utah. And then he found, upon investigating the house, he went up into the attic and found, God, I think it was like $50,000 or something like that he found up there. And it turned out that he had bought the house from some adult children who were selling it on behalf of their late parents. Their parents had passed away, and the kids inherited the house, and they sold it. And this guy, this new homeowner, remembered that, and he contacted them and said, hey, I found all this money. And they said, yeah, my dad was a hoarder. He didn't believe in banks, and he, you know, used to squirrel money away. We just missed it. We didn't know it was there. And they gave the money back to the
That's
people.
That's crazy.
I mean, they bought the house. They owned the house. There was $50,000 in the attic, and they turned it over.
I just feel like things come back to you. I've never been super religious, and I'm not one to ever say, oh, karma, but things come back. Why not, if it's not yours, try really hard to find the people that it belongs to?
Because it's $50,000.
No, but you know what? Those kids might be going through their own hardships.
They just sold a house.
That's right.
They did just sell a house.
They really needed the money after a sad death in the family.
We're just playing devil's advocate.
I get that. But I'm also the person, like, when you are walking on on Venice Beach and you see like $5, I won't even reach for it because I know there's a string and there's a guy right. that's just going to laugh at you. Right. So I just keep walking.
All right. How about if it's not, Rick, you hang on, Chris, Darren, Mark, we got some great calls. We're going to take them in a minute here at 1-800-520-1067. How about if it's not a potential, scam or stunt on Venice Beach? How about if you're at the grocery store tonight, Allie, buying some dinner, and you see a $20 bill laying in the middle of the aisle in the Safeway?
Okay.
What's your move?
I'll pick it up.
And?
Probably give it to someone as I leave.
To someone or the manager?
Yeah, there's usually people outside that are looking for money.
Okay.
So you won't turn it into the store and say, hey, I found this on the store. If anybody claims it, here it is. You won't do that. You'll just pass it on.
Yes.
I had this happen in reverse. I know it's hard to believe that I left my wallet someplace.
Stop it.
But I
what,
left my,
you?
Yeah. But I left my wallet at McDonald's, and I got a phone call from somebody saying, hey, this you left your wallet. And I met him at the McDonald's, and I don't know, I had $40 in it or something. It was all there.
See?
Right? Did that make you feel great about the world, though?
I mean, I would have been happy if they took the money but just gave me back my ID and my credit card.
Yeah, because that's the pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But all the money was still there, too.
I mean, it's definitely... We all agree it's the right thing to do. It's whether if you're in that situation and you can get away with it, if you'll do it or not. But let's talk to some of our listeners and see what they did. How about Scott in Burbank, where I hear the weather is very nice today. He's on line 5, and he's up first here on the Kevin Beach Show. Scott, thank you so much for calling. You found some money, right?
Yeah. I worked at a grocery store in Burbank in high school, and I was collecting carts, and I found a purse a lady left in the cart, and it had $145 in it, and I took all the 20s and left the $5 bill, and I gave it to my manager, and when she came and picked it up, she looked in it, was sad that the $140 was gone, and asked who found her purse. I said it was me, and she tried to give me the $5 as a tip.
Oh,
wow. You have never felt crappier than you did at that minute.
It's the worst thing that I've ever done.
That's a horrible story. So you had the opportunity at that point to say, oh, I think these 20s fell out, and let me give them back to you. Did you do it?
No, I don't know.
It made it so much worse that she gave you an extra $5.
Oh, yeah, Scott.
My manager was like, oh, he's not allowed to take tips. I was like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about
it. I've already been tipped.
I am so sad by this story. All right. Well, you're a bad man, but you're a good man for calling and admitting it. Thank you for calling and thank you for listening. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You found money. What happened next? We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Kevin Smith joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. That's all on the way. Ronda Rousey in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking about you found money. It wasn't yours. Now you're at a crossroads. Do I keep the money if I can get away with it, or do I turn it back in and do the right thing? How did it end up for you? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jay. He's one of your people, Kevin. He found money in Las Vegas, of all places.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
Hi there. You were in Vegas, and you found money.
Hell yeah. So we were done with our registration in the Mirage. We were walking back to the elevator. I spot a wallet on the floor. I pick it up. My heart starts beating. And I thought to myself, I was like, huh, should I? So
how much?
How much was it?
Yep.
So I looked for an ID first, and then I checked out the money.
Liar. How much?
It was like about $500
to
$600.
Wow. Yes.
Yes, sir.
And Las Vegas, you can turn that into $3
million, man. I know, but the thing is, you know, it was a Friday, and I bet that was someone's cash for the weekend. And so
you gambled it?
No. I wish I did. You know what? I would have just bet on black.
Yeah. Isn't there a part of you that just goes, maybe I could double up and I could get that amount of money and still pay it back?
Yes.
No.
That's clearly the right move, Kevin.
That's the beer mug move.
But in turn, you're going to be ruining someone's weekend.
So. Yeah. So what did you do?
So I went to the security desk, and right when I arrived there, the guy that lost his wallet was right there asking for it.
Oh, no kidding.
How about that? All right. Did he peel off $100 for you?
Yes, he did. He actually gave me $150, and here's the kicker. The following Vegas trip, I get blitzed out of my mind playing video poker at the bar with my cousin, and I lose my wallet.
Wow.
Well, I hope somebody returned it.
They did, with all the cash in it.
Look at that. A happy ending. Isn't that what you were talking about, Allie?
It exactly was. It came right back to you.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Sundown in Torrance. Sundown on line 8.
Hey, yeah, Sundown.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I found a wallet by the beach, and it had almost $600, but there was a driver's license there. So I drove to the guy's house, and I returned his wallet. And the funny thing is, he didn't even realize he had lost it.
Oh, wow.
And now you're married.
That would be the best ending to this story ever.
Right.
No.
Sundown, did you have any moment of, wow, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, this is mine now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the first thought. And this was a long time ago. And just to give you an idea, back then, my rent was like $700 a month. So it was almost a month's rent.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Because his address and his name was there,
you couldn't do it.
Keep it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't
good,
do it. It
good for you.
Me for the rest of my life.
Good for you. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's do Mark real quick. Mark's in Thousand Oaks. He's on line 4. Now, I wanted to get him on the air because he was only 13 when he found the money. So let's see what kind of decision he made. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. 13 years old. Tell us about finding money.
I was skateboarding around with my friend. I actually around a bank, and I fell off my skateboard, and something broke my fall. And sure enough, it was a purse. So being kids, we took the $480 out of the purse, went straight to the mall, got some new skateboarding gear, and
and never looked back. This is the first story that we've had. There's not even a consideration of giving it back.
Right,
how fast can we spend it? Well, he was 13.
Yeah,
I bet most 13-year-olds
who don't have... Did you go to Oaks Mall, though?
Yeah, don't judge me, guys.
All right.
Did you go to the Oaks Mall?
Oh, yeah, you know the area.
Yeah, I do. I lost a purse by a bank, actually.
What'd you do with the purse, by the way? Just throw it in the bushes?
We left it there. We didn't even move it. We took the
money. You just pretended you never saw it.
Nice.
Never even saw it.
Yep. You're a dick. All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Here's a 42-year-old Las Vegas cab driver. His name is Adam Woldermarum. He was cleaning out his taxi prior to his shift one day when he came across a laptop case in the back seat. Inside, guys, was $221,510 in cash. He asked the driver from the previous shift if he had forgotten anything. The driver said no, so he took the money to the cab company's security desk and turned it in. About an hour later, an Ethiopian immigrant, the cab driver, who was an Ethiopian immigrant, received a dispatch to return to the company office where the man who had lost the money arrived to pick it up. He had won it at a casino. And the cab driver was given a $2,000 tip by the man for returning the money. He won $221,000 at a casino and left it in the back of a cab. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing that the cab driver took it back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's $220,000. I mean, it's amazing he didn't take like $20,000. Because still that guy's getting most of his money back.
Yep, he got a $2,000 tip for returning the money. But that is remarkable, man. That is not, I'm not trying to disparage cab drivers, but I don't think most humans could walk away from that kind of windfall. I mean, that changes your life right there.
Yeah.
All right, so we found out that our listeners find money and for the most part give it back except for that one guy.
Skateboarder.
Right, the skateboarder. And Allie still wants her money.
Does that song still work for everybody? Do you still hear it and go, awesome? Or is it at the point now where you're kind of over it?
Awesome. I still like it.
Awesome. I still like it, too.
I still like it.
Isn't that weird that some songs just you always recognize how great they are no matter how many times you've heard them?
The worst named song ever in the history, though. Remember when Bean said that on television?
Oh, sure.
That was good times.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, April Foolishness is coming up, as you know. It's going to be on April the 4th. It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets go on sale tomorrow noon. But we'd like to give away some. So are we done? We're done giving away your Galaxy tickets?
Yes,
now
we are.
Clear the lines, and we're looking for people who want to go to Kevin Bean's April Foolishness to see Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias and Ralphie May and Adam Ray and Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time?
We're going to do Rodney the Joke Machine. So he pretty much knows every single punchline to every single joke. So.
Rodney Bingenheimer?
Yes, Rodney
Bingenheimer. The guy who works here at K-Rock?
Uh-huh.
He knows the comedy?
He's a comedy legend. legends.
He's a comedy legend. That's true.
All right. So you call up and you give Rodney the setup, and then he knows the punchline. If he doesn't know the punchline and you're able to get by Rodney, then you go into the drawing to win the tickets for right. Foolishness. That's how it works?
It's not going to happen. I don't think you're going to give away any tickets.
Well, we got to try, though, right?
He is an encyclopedia of humor. That's for sure.
Yep.
So if you want to stump Rodney, Rodney the Joke Machine is joining us next, 1-800-520-1067. You give us the setup, he'll give you the punchline. Rob is here now, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Have you ever listened to his show? It's hilarious. He is a comedy genius. He calls it the Grand Buddhist Hotel.
He does.
During
he
the
does.
Oscars. Yeah. Just one joke after another with that guy.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
That's right.
Listen to that delivery. Hey, occasionally here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we like to play some music.
Yes.
So I thought I'd do a little music news.
Great.
My Morning Jacket will release a new album on May the 4th.
I like them.
I'd like them enormously. The band's seventh full-length record is called The Waterfall, and you can hear the first single, Big Decisions, right now over at MyMorningJacket.com. So if you're a fan, you may want to check that out.
Kevin, don't you have a clip of the new My Morning Jacket?
I hope not. Because I have a clip I need to come up next.
All right. Okay.
Don't
set up
your
next
over
clip,
there.
And then I'll play the fake one.
Okay. Speaking of new music, this surprised me in a pleasant way. Look, I know they're way old school, but I'm still a fan of the Violent Femmes. And they've got a brand new song. For the first time in 14 years, they've got new music. It was released this week. It is part of a four-song vinyl EP called Happy New Year that comes out on April the 18th, which is Record Store Day. And I'll tell you, it sure sounds like the Violent Femmes. It's a song called Love, 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 Love. And it is released this week. Here's a little taste of new music by the Violent Femmes.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess.
Nope.
Some say they'll know it when they see it, while others follow it blind. Appliances made it all calculated. It's just a chemical imbalance in the weaker mind. I want love, 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 love. I love, 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 love. Love, 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 love. All around me, all around me. Oh, oh.
Sure sounds like the Violent Femmes.
Sounds just
very
like
heavy. That Gordon Gano, is it? I think
yeah, Gano.
He certainly has a distinctive delivery.
He does. And I like it. Amy Pascal, you may remember her as one time heading up Sony Studios. She's no longer in that position. She has now moved on to a job as one of the Sony on-lot producers. She will still be producing films for Sony, but she will no longer be running the studio.
And was she one of the people who got kind of hurt by some of her private emails?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was the hacking?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
A lot of her personal opinions and little interpersonal jokes with her co-workers were made public, and it cost her her reputation with the studio. Especially when she was saying how Obama should go watch 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good times.
That was her?
Yeah, yeah, those were good times.
Mm.
So she has been looking to move into her new suite on the lot, her new office for her production facilities. However, she tried to move into the new suite, but she couldn't. That suite was formerly occupied by producers Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. The scent of marijuana was so strong that she said she couldn't stay in the studio suite.
That is awesome.
The smell had seeped into the flooring, the walls, all the furnishings.
And this isn't a bonus?
Not particularly.
What?
Here's the thing. The smell of marijuana while you're actually smoking it is very lovely and reassuring.
Correct.
After the fact, not so much. So they need to pull up the floors and repaint.
Redo everything.
Redo, just burn the place to the ground and start all over again. And she will be moving into that that new office later on this year.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, someone's not getting his security deposit back.
That's for sure. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, a quick email. You guys were talking about returning money. Remember that
segment
you were doing there? This came in from a listener, Dan Bauman, who apparently was involved with the organized crime.
Oh,
talking
wow.
about money. I thought it was pretty interesting. You might find my story interesting as a podcast listener. I cannot tell you where I am currently because I'm in the Witness Protection Program.
Fantastic.
As a youth, I was a runner for the Gambino crime family in New York. I worked my way up through the ranks and found myself in way over my head. My conscience began weighing heavily on me, and I found an opportunity to turn state's evidence. So to this day, I live under an assumed name because I double-crossed John Gotti. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Because I double-crossed John Gotti. Because I double-crossed John Gotti. Because I double-crossed John Gotti.
I gotta be honest, it's pretty good.
Yeah, standing O indeed.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, Dan Bauman. We appreciate that. Wherever you may be in witness relocation.
Outstanding!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel & Oates. She's 36 years old.
She deserves
today.
A bell.
Does she?
Yes.
Which one is she?
She's the blonde. She's super funny. She's in a ton of movies. Thank you.
All right.
Eva Mendez is 41. She deserves a bell. Kevin Connolly's 41.
He deserves a bell.
Nope. Okay. John Frusciante.
Yeah.
He's 45 years old today.
He deserves a rubber room.
Oh, snap. I like it, huh? Freddie Roach, boxing coach. Oh, how cool would it be if your name rhymed with your profession? He's Freddie Roach, boxing coach.
I guess that'd be cool.
Is that a category?
I don't think
that'd
so.
That'd be so cool.
I guess.
If your name rhymed with your job.
I don't think that's very cool.
Come on, it's cool. So cool.
So I don't think that's a thing.
How about, Ralph, if your name
What if you're Bean Baxtio from the radio?
How about if your last name is what your occupation is? What if your last name is Farmer, your last name is Baker, or something like that? Is that even cooler?
Oh, that's so cool. That's how names came from, you know?
That is true.
Here we have my friend Kevin Smith coming up in moments. Smith was the guy, the blacksmith, the guy who would shoe horses. It was in the neighborhood that you'd be known as the Smith.
My last name of Baxter derived from Baker. Originally, my family way back was Bakers.
But they couldn't spell?
There were
Bakers who could not spell?
Something happened.
Came to me for the spelling.
It was Baker with an X.
Now, Kevin, was your family, were you a writer? What do you think that was all about?
Yeah, they're still writers.
I really...
Yeah, giddy up.
Writer syndrome, I know that.
I don't really have any interest in that.
Garmin means, in the old Celtic... spear carrier.
Spear carrier?
Yes.
That's strong.
It is strong. I will spear you. I will stab you with my spear.
Well, that should be the official weapon of the Garmy, then.
I think it is. All right. We did a lot on names right
there. That's good right there.
Magician Penn Jillette is 60 years old today. And musician Eddie Grant is 67.
Oh, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we're taking higher. Good God. Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
Eddie is 67 years old today. He is so stoned right now, wherever he is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show, K-Rock, 106.7. Coming up next, my interview with Kaja Gugu.
Nope.
I sat down with Kaja Gugu. We were at a funeral.
Right.
Okay. The manager of the Runaways.
Okay. Robbie, listen, can I just interrupt for 1 second?
It's actually Gugu came by and Joan Jett was there and she said, I'm going to cry.
Okay,
I've
listen.
I've never seen Joan cry before.
We appreciate you stopping by, but it's still the Kevin and Bean Show. And the reason you're here, Rodney, is we want you to help us give away some tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Show 2015. You know about that concert coming up at the Shrine?
Joey Scarbury sang the Greatest American Hero theme.
He did, but that's not what we're talking about here.
All right.
So, Rodney, I know that you've been doing the late night Sunday show here on K-Rock for many, many years, and we appreciate
you. Now I'm doing mornings. All right.
Nope, it's still
in the morning.
Still our show.
106.7.
And I know that you love the old music, particularly the music from the 80s.
I love the 80s.
I know you love it. How do you feel about the 90s, by the way?
I hate the 90s.
All right. This is not about any of the 80s or 90s bands,
though. All right.
No. This is about giving away tickets for April Foolishness. The listeners are on the line, Rodney, and they're going to give you a joke. They're going to tell you the first part of a joke. All you have to do is fill in the second part, the punchline. Now, you know a lot of comedy jokes, right?
Aha. Take on Me. Very popular video on MTV. It was like a cartoon. It was black and white. And the guy would just bang against the side of the panel.
Right.
It was like a comic strip.
Hey, let's stump Rodney.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy.
Hey.
You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine.
At least I knew the name of the bit.
It's not stuff, Rodney. Is that called that?
Not at all.
All right, Kevin, who's our first contestant today? Arturo.
I may be on Sunday nights, but I know what the segment's called.
Arturo in Lakewood. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You're on with Rodney the Joke Machine.
All right, Rodney, how do you fix a monkey?
Whip it. Whip it real good.
That's possible. Kind of makes sense.
That's possible. Steve-o.
Is that the punchline?
How do you fix a monkey? With a monkey wrench.
All right, that's Godhead.
That's not Godhead. I think I like Rodney's punchline better. But you did stump Rodney technically, so Arturo, you are in the drawing for the tickets. Thank you for calling.
All right. Can't be a surprise that we're asking you for the punchline, just for the heads up for everybody else.
All right.
Jana in Huntington Beach.
Hey.
Hi, you're on with Rodney.
Okay, Rodney.
All right.
What did the sushi say to the bee?
What did the sushi say to the bee? Pass the duchy on the left-hand side.
All right. Possible.
He said, wasabi.
Wasabi.
By the way, terrible joke. Well told.
I like the delivery. Well done.
Outstanding delivery, Jenna.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Jenna, so how old are you?
Oh, no. Okay, right, she's gone.
Just
she's gone, Rodney.
How old she was.
Nope.
You don't.
Rodney,
you
don't want to know that at all.
Just being friendly.
Mm-mm.
I'm impressed that you've come up with actual answers that could have been punchlines. They weren't, but you're trying, and I appreciate that.
All right.
All right, let's go to...
You're the enemy.
Let's go... I've heard that too,
That's true for all of us. Let's go to Danae from Huntington Beach. Hi, Danae.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
So why does Snoop Dogg carry an umbrella?
Why does Snoop Dogg carry an umbrella?
Now, Rodney, this is a joke. We're not talking about 80s music now.
You blinded me with science. All right.
Is that the punchline today?
No, it's faux drizzle, my kizzle and bizzle.
That's faux not even. Drizzle. It's not even a joke.
Yeah,
is
it, I like it.
Is there
I got to be honest, I like it. Oh, really?
Because
drizzle is another name for rain.
And kizzle and bizzle, Kevin and Bean.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, thank sure. you today. All right. You're in the drawing.
How old are you?
Okay. She's already on hold, Ronnie. That's not what this is about. This isn't Match.com. We're just trying to give away some tickets, all right?
All right. Let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
All right.
Awesome. So, Ronnie, how do you circumcise a redneck?
A flock of seagulls.
Wow.
Steve, everybody.
That's a great joke.
Wow.
That is a painful visual. Thank you, Steve. You are in the drawing for April Foolishness tickets. We got time for a couple more. Kevin, who's next?
All right. Let's go to Chris, who is calling us from Canoga Park. Hey, Chris. Oop, I'm sorry. I'm on with Crystal now. My bad. Crystal in North Hollywood.
Hi. What does the big tomato say to the little tomatoes that can't keep up?
That's a confusing setup.
Tomato. Wait, the little tomatoes can't keep up with the big tomatoes?
To the little tomato that can't keep up.
If it's ketchup, I'm hanging up on her.
No. Oh, Crystal.
Is it ketchup, Crystal?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You weren't able to stump Rodney, but a nice effort. Thank you.
I feel bad.
You should feel bad. All right, let's do one more, you guys.
I just hated that joke so much.
It was well told, though.
Let's go to Chris in Canoga Park. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Chris, any little tomatoes in your joke, or are you changing the topics for us here?
No little tomatoes.
All right, what's your joke? Let's hear it.
What's red and green and goes 100 miles an hour?
Spandau Ballet.
Nah, frog in a blender.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Ouch. It
all
got
right.
dark.
Right.
It just got dark.
Okay.
All right. Arturo.
What did I win?
You don't win anything, but somebody's about to win tickets for April Foolishness. Arturo is in the drawing. I believe Jana is in the drawing. Danae, Steve, and Chris. Only one will win his or her way into the Shrine Auditorium on Saturday, April 4th for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2015. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
I have landed on Jana.
Jana.
Yay! Jana.
Congratulations, Jana.
Thank you.
All right. How old are you?
Nope.
He's Rodney, the joke machine, the joke machine, he's Rodney.
Look, I'm always excited to see Ralph's co-host from Hollywood Babylon, Kevin Smith, walk through the door. It's always a pleasure to meet the man, but I feel like he's coming at us pretty hard today with Mr. Science Act about how we're sitting on a throne of lies about that marijuana story, Ralph.
He's calling BS on that story.
He's calling BS on your story.
He kicked the door open and said, "That's BS, man! Hot rules!" He started making this sign like the horns of the devil running around the room. I didn't understand it all. I may govern my life from a throne of lies, but this instance is pure throne of lies. I'm totally
That's my new miniseries, man.
All right. What did you hear Ralph say on the way that you have or want to take exception to?
As somebody who imbibes a lot, passes the duchy on both the left and the right.
Yes.
The story about Amy Pascal's new office and them having to, you know, tear everything up because it reeks of weed so badly.
Yeah, because she took over the office from Seth Rogen, and the story was reported that it just was uninhabitable because of the odor.
And I felt like, as a guy who regularly smokes, and, you know, the smell goes away. It's not like cigarette smoke. You walk into a room where a cigarette smoker's been, a week later, you're still going to smell some cigarette. Weed goes away, and, it dissipates. So I call foul on this, but Allie had a great point.
That's weird. When I heard it, my immediate thought was Seth Rogen is clumsy and there's bong water.
That's involved. I hadn't even thought of it. Yep. See, I'm not a bong guy, so that never ran
through
my head.
They did have to pull up the carpet.
They did mention the flooring, so
that would make sense, because that would reek. You don't get that.
But Seth is saying it's not true at all, right, Bean?
Yes, that's what
he's denying everything.
Yeah, exactly. He says
he's
stoned.
What does he know?
Such a good guy. Such a funny guy. He is a dude.
He's a great dude.
Yes, and sometimes you see people succeed in this business, and you're like, why them? Mm-hmm. That's not a guy. I'm like, I know why. A, he's insanely talented. B, he's always driven. And C, he's just funny and a nice dude.
He's comes a nice Canada. Dude. He's super likable.
I got a little chance last night to hang out with Vince Vaughn, who was on the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He got his hand, foot, and footprints in the Chinese theater, and there was a screening of his new movie out. And I spent 20 minutes with the guy, and I felt the same thing. He's like, what a nice, sweet, really charming, nice man. I'm glad that he's successful.
Where at any point where you're like, man, I wish my feet were in the cement right now. Are you into that?
No,
that
that's not a thing that really...
Stars or anything like that?
I'm sure when it happens...
Do you guys have a star?
No.
Says Mr. H.O. No. We'd never have that. We were talking before we jumped on air. When I first came in, because these dudes are... Kevin and Bean, of course, I don't know if anybody knows this, but Hall of Fame.
Sure.
They're looking for old pictures of the show, I guess, for some presentation.
Yeah, it's all embarrassing, but go ahead.
I was just shown a photo of me, you, Bean, and Joey Adams from 1997, the actress from Chasing Amy,
yes,
when we were dating. I see pictures of me all the time because we're in the age of Instagram and whatnot, and I look in the mirror all the time, and I never have seen it as unpleasant to face, unhappy to be anywhere as I am in that. I don't even recognize that
I've
kid.
Never seen you surly, but you're surly in that photo.
It was a time machine. Number one, it was weird because you don't expect to see something like that when you're
What year are we talking about, Kevin?
1997. So you guys are still in Burbank,
still in Burbank,
I guess?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it may have been like, I came in for Clerks, like going way back in the beginning, probably I think for home video release or something like that, or maybe before it opened in the Lumley, and that's like 1994.
Wow.
This was a 1997 picture. Dude, number one, you haven't changed at all. Robert, you look the same.
Thanks, I think.
Number two, Joey Adams hasn't changed at all. I've seen a picture of her recently. She is ageless.
Yeah.
But look at how unhappy I look.
Well, you look unhappy, but you were never unhappy on the air. You were always
gregarious. I don't know. I should go back and
listen. Always fun.
Because he sits on a throne of life.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's
it. You look like an adorable little bear.
I know. I look at me. I'm so unhappy. Yeah, I've got an attitude. I'm like, this is fame.
Yeah,
Mr. First World, he doesn't know how good he has. He doesn't know Tusk is coming. He doesn't know Jersey Girl is coming.
He's surly.
This little jerk. Smile, you fat POS.
Hey,
that's what I want to do. Go back in time. Tell him, smile.
Have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
No, but I was asking.
Why would you?
You should. What? You deserve one.
No.
You absolutely deserve one.
Honestly, I'm not really into that stuff. And I don't say this as some people are like, yeah, you say it because you'll never get one. But yeah, I guess that's all part of it. Like, all the trappings of this job are not the things I've ever been. I like to. If somebody wanted to give me an Oscar, I'd be like, oh my God, look at this. They gave me one. Are you nuts?
Sure.
It'd become a story. But I was never like, I got to win one of those, because that's the top of my craft. I've never been interested in rising to the top of my craft. I just want to, like, say what I want to say, do what I want to do. Sometimes that connects. In the 90s, a lot of stuff connected. In the aughts, not so good. heavens, up to Tusk, not even that good. But I'd rather keep doing what I want to do rather than, like, if you fit into this structure and make a movie that moves, 100 people in an organization that you're a part of.
But you can be rewarded for doing exactly what you're describing with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You certainly have a lot of fans around the world who would be happy to see your name on the sidewalk.
Would they? Or
yes,
would they, or,
absolutely. So.
Out here in Los Angeles, like, if you were truly a big fan of what I do, like, is
you
New Jersey
are
the place where you want
to
go? Not
to
so
have
much
a star.
No, I disagree. And also, if you have a star, that allows every hater to come over and, like, take a picture crapping on
it. Yeah.
I don't need that. I got enough negativity in life. I don't want to be unsmiley like this 1997 Kevin Smith ever got.
I got the sense from Vince last night that he thinks sort of similarly
but that when they do come to you and they say, we want to give you this honor, you can't help but sort of be touched. Because he said, John Favreau introduced him to this at the ceremony, and they said, when those guys were broke 21-year-olds walking around the streets of Hollywood, they would look at those guys in that cement, and it's just a nice sort of culmination for them and what they've been through.
Now, let me ask you guys, because I have a terrible memory. When I'm walking down and I'm looking at those stars, I recognize very few of them.
A lot of them are 50, 60, 70-year-old stars,
The stars is different than the hands, foot.
No, I'm talking about the stars,
in the cement.
I'll walk past 15 stars and not know a single
the
one.
Stars as
but
well,
I think, so isn't that the idea? The idea is like, and there they are ensconced forever for you to walk over and wonder who they were. Hollywood's biggest celebrities. So that to
for
me
a
is,
moment.
I mean, I don't, like, that would turn on my mother so much. My 70-year-old mother would get moist at the idea of, like, man, I'm saying that's how serious she is about that kind of stuff.
She called
me when they mentioned that I shaved my beard on The View.
Yeah.
She called me to be like, they just talked about you on The View. And she hasn't called me in 20 years that excited about anything, you know? So she's into that kind of stuff. I got a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She'd be like, oh, Tiger, you and Dad were here when you were nine, that kind of stuff.
But, Ralph, let me ask you this, because this is on topic. You remember how hard you campaigned, and we all did on the show, to get Mr. Adam West
his star
in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right?
Yes.
How did he feel about that? Because he was always the same way. He was like, oh, it's not important to me or whatever, you know, but I'll do it for the fans. But when that day came, he cried like a baby,
On
right?
the day, he was genuinely touched, and it was a nice culmination of a career. It's just a little cherry on the sundae. It's not the ice cream. It's not any of the good stuff that you want to eat, but it's just a nice nod. And if that feeling lasts just for a day, then so be it. Because like you said, Kevin, you forget a lot of those people when you walk down the street. You don't even know who they are anymore. But they, for one moment, they stood there and they were awarded that thing. And I think that was a good moment for those people.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
All right. We got to take a break. Kevin Smith is here, by the way. Saturday night, you got a big doing going on at the Hollywood Improv. What's this evening with all about?
I'm just going to stand there and answer questions. That's it. It's something I used to do quite frequently. And since we're not doing Babble this weekend, because what are you doing?
I have a fundraiser for my kid's school that I'm hosting and coordinating.
Ralph's having funds elsewhere. I will be standing on the stage answering their questions on Saturday night at the Improv.
Are there any questions you haven't been asked with the dozens of times you've done this and all the DVDs you put out of the evenings with? Are you still surprised sometimes by what people want to know?
Hold that thought. We need a break. We'll come right back.
Our friend Kevin Smith in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget, Comic Book Men airs Sunday nights at midnight on AMC now in its fourth season. Congratulations, Kevin. And an evening with Kevin Smith is going to be at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. Great opportunity to ask the man a question you've always wanted to know. Tickets are just $25, 18 and up. Go to csmod.com, Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. When we had to break, I was asking you if at this point, can you ever be surprised by a question, or is it the same 25 questions over and over again every time you do one of these things?
The questions changed, but to be honest, depending on what you're doing in life, there's usually a top five that you're going to get no matter where you go.
And is there a top five all time?
Of all time? Yeah. No, it changes. It used to be like, I told that Superman story forever, but then once we started putting them on DVD, like Evening with Kevin Smith, once the story is recorded, then it's like, you don't want to tell it again, or people like the fans that go are like, I've seen him tell that story.
Right.
So it pushes you to kind of do new stuff all the time.
Why is Bruce Willis a dick? That's got to be in the top five.
Not even. Like, that's old.
Really?
Now. Yeah, nobody cares.
Okay.
Everyone's
Why are you so fat? They can't ask that anymore.
They can. They'll ask, like, what are you doing? Like, lately, because, I lost weight, so there's a lot of talk about that. I talk about veggie juice and whatnot. I talk about getting off sugar. Like right now I did it again. I'm day six of no sugar whatsoever. I was all no sugar, and then after the holidays I let sugar back in, and then just recently I was like, all right, I know we're gonna be shooting in June on Clerks 3, and I once read Steven Spielberg said that before he made a movie he always dieted, because on set all you generally do is be stationary, sedentary, in front of a monitor with all these delicious, amazing foods, with lunch and breakfast or lunch and dinner constantly pushed on you and stuff. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of food and a lot of sedentary. So, boom, you gain weight. So heading into, like, 2 months from now, we'll be heading to Philly for Clerks 3. So I'm like, all right, man, now it's time to drop, like, serious weight and get sugar out of your life, because once you get to set, it'll probably creep back in.
I don't know this man anymore.
I have sugar for dinner. That's just straight sugar.
I love it. I love it. I would do things in my mouth with strangers. when I'm in a sugar-free place, I'm like, you got Lucky Charms? I'll meet you behind a building. I love it so much.
Injecting Ovaltine into your veins.
Mainlining it. Just... snorting it right up. But I can't, you know, if you, here's my theory. This is how I'm working on it right
okay.
now. You know, because alcoholics are like one day at a time. For me, I go, like right now, I'm like, okay, all of March and all of April, I won't eat sugar. The only problem with this is April is like Easter and that's the National Chocolate Month. But, and when I think about that, and as a fat man, I get a like a sense of panic where I'm like, I'm going to miss Easter candy. Like, you know, it's weird.
Cadbury eggs.
It's only once a year. I get to have a dozen bunny. But if I just keep telling myself, like, chocolate is not going away. You know, in May, chocolate will be there. It may not be, you know, Godiva bunny, but
there's an entire city in Pennsylvania that all they do
never stop
in Hershey, Pennsylvania, is just make chocolate.
Good old Milton Hershey. So I say to myself, just go 2 months. That's it.
Two months sounds not even like 2 years to me.
I know, but if you were like an alcoholic or a drug addict, where these people stand there and go like, "Give it up forever," like, could you imagine? And you're like, "But I'm addicted. I know how I feel about sugar and chocolate." And even if I had to stand in the face of never again. You know, I don't know that I could stand.
You have somebody who gives you a pin at the end of every 30 days?
No. I just slap myself on the back, and I look in the mirror. Honestly, the rewards are when you look in the mirror.
What about sugars from fruits? Are you?
That's okay. I just don't do added or processed sugar. Got so it. If I drink, like, I'll have milk. Milk's got sugar in it, but not like, let's pour sugar in it. It's just that natural sugar.
And you ever try that, though? Sugar and milk? That's really good.
Does that work?
Yeah. Makes it better.
Now you tell me. Now that I'm off sugar.
Now, you said last time when you came in, you were talking about giving up sugar, and you said there's a period of depression.
Yes.
Serious depression.
And I'm in it right now.
You are.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's been a bad time because the dog died last 2 weeks ago, my dog Mulder. My brother-in-law died
right,
this week.
I forgot.
Very suddenly, my brother-in-law passed away. So
that's almost as sad.
Yeah, can you believe it? So we've been dealing with that in the place of also no sugar.
Right.
So, like, there are moments where you're like, you know what would ameliorate all this misery? Just liquid joy. Godiva liquid joy. Hershey liquid joy.
It wouldn't make it go away, but it would feel a little better.
It helps.
Kid, but it's real.
A little better.
When you get that sensation and those endorphins kick in, that is for real.
They say, like, you know, there's studies online. They always quote that, like, eating chocolate, that your brain lights up in the same way as when you're having an orgasm. And I was talking, this is a weird connection, but I was talking to my mother the other week.
Again with the mom.
You know, me and my mom
and the
were
orgasms.
Close.
Talking
me and my mom were close. Are you moist, mom? Oh my God, are you tapping my office? She was talking about, like, my brother had got her like one of those liquid marijuana pens, a vapor pen where you can smoke it. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect for you. I never thought about doing that for you. You're like, yeah, absolutely. And she's like, you know, she used the terminology. She's like, I hit it. It was crazy. So I was like, Ma, you hit it? You quit it? She's like, I hit it twice, and then I went to sleep. And she's got, she calls it Jimmy leg, the restless leg syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So she never sleeps through the night. So she's like, I slept incredibly, man. And so I was like, Ma, this is my, I'm not a doctor. But I did at one point come out of your body, so I think we have a close connection.
Sure.
You should believe me more than a stranger. And as somebody who ardently smokes, you know, as much as possible, this is my advice to you. You are 70 years old. You wake up and you start hitting it in the terminology
That's right.
of mom until you feel 25. Then pour chocolate on top. Because, Ma, I was like, you're 70 and you're single. What are you, like, this is, it gets no better than that.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure you can go out and try to play tennis with old people, but why? Sit there and smoke till you're in your 20s again?
You're playing with house money at this point.
Oh, my God, you're absolutely right. And for the first time, my mother was like, you know what? You're right. She's like, why am I doing it small? I said, don't do it small. Do it big. I said, Ma, I got one of the greatest lives I've ever encountered in my life. I love my life so much. But even I wake up every morning and go like, you know what would make this better? Yeah, oh my God, I can see clearly now.
Life advice from Kevin Smith.
At least we know what Kevin's retirement plan is. When he's 70, we know what he's going to be doing.
He's going to not eat sugar from now till then, so that when that comes
when
around.
When that happens.
Put on the muumuu and just open the fridge.
Then I'm just going to become Jabba, dude. I'm going to lay somewhere.
I'll be sitting on your shoulder.
That'll be amazing.
This is the voice of Kevin Smith here on the Kevin DeBean Show, again, appearing at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night. If you want to get tickets, csmod.com. It's an evening with. You can go and ask questions. It's an interactive experience, just $25, 18 and up. Hey, speaking of Clerks 3, 10 to 12 years between the movies, you get the itch to do it again, or the fans demand that you do it again, or you come up with an idea of how you just can't resist about these characters? Why do you keep going back to Clerks?
Cool characters. I love Dante and Randall. They're the two guys in Clerks. you know, look, I love a lot of fake people. Batman, of course, my favorite human being in the world, better than anyone in this room, that Batman is.
No question.
Dante and Randall, I'm always very thankful to, because without them, I wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't be having this conversation. I wouldn't even know the show exists because I'd be on the other side of the country. Well, maybe now via podcast, I'd be like, hey, there's a funny dude in this.
You would literally be a guy just running a comic book store and doing a podcast. That's what you'd be doing.
I don't even know if I'd be running a comic book store. I'd probably just be working for somebody else. I always worked at a series of delis and convenience stores, and before that, I was a busboy. So I figured it would be a life of servitude. My mother even said, she's like, you know, you should get a job at a restaurant like your brother because he's doing well. Like, we didn't, there were no life plans in our family. Right. It wasn't like, you're going to do this, go to college, and blah, blah, blah. Although my parents were like, yeah, go to college. We hear that's popular.
We hear that's good.
So my brother and sister went, and, you know, they did well. My sister travels the world and stuff. And my brother went to chiropractic school, and then he was like, it's not for me. I don't like dealing with cadavers. And he went on a different path. But for me, it was going to be making subs my whole life because I obviously, look, well, I know how to make a sandwich.
You know how to make a sub.
That was my big, I had no dream, but I was like, I guess one day maybe I can own a deli because I know how to cut a nice sandwich. And then because of Clerks and because of those two characters, Dante and Randall, that my life changed completely. And honestly, for the better, everything worked out in an incredible way. So I love those characters and I love checking in on them because they'll always represent what might have been for me if I hadn't taken that path. So Clerks 2 is a movie about, and some people really get down on me about it, but it's a movie about two guys who want to freeze time and, like, go back to the thing that made them happiest in life. And some people argue with that. They're like, that's not growth in the characters. And I was like, well, these movies aren't really about the characters. They're about me. That Clerks was about how I felt in my 20s when I was in my 20s. Clerks 2 was about how I felt about being in my 30s when I was 30s. In my 30s. Now I'm into Clerks 3, and I'm in my 40s, and I really want to say something about looking at the end, particularly through those characters. Like, those characters, when you first met them, they didn't think about death. They were just like, I hate working.
Yeah.
Middle-aged version of those characters, to me, it's just like, I do want to spend time with them, and I want to know how their story winds up. So, you know, as long as you keep it inexpensive, and it's not like, you know, the government's like, everyone's forced to see Clerks 3. You can do whatever you want in this life, right? And without worry of repercussions. Some people will be like, I saw it and I don't like it. Some people, again, some people have told me repeatedly that they didn't like the second Clerks. So, like, it doesn't have the spirit of the first. It could never. The first one was like a punk rock song by a kid who knew three chords and then just learned the fourth chord and sat down with a four-track recorder and was just like, meh, 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 meh. And that was Clerks. And it connected in a way. I don't know the world of retail. Back then, I lived in retail. Right. Like, I was behind that counter every day. Clerks 2 is not about retail at all because it'd be artifice at that point. And yeah, all movies are artifice, but I like to play it as honestly as I can. Even if you're making something like Tusk, I like to infuse it with as much honesty as possible. Go make sense of that sentence. But with the idea of, like, talking about retail the way we could in Clerks, which, honestly, we didn't really that much. It was about how to avoid working. I could never do that in Clerks 3. Now my experience with retail is on the other side of the counter where I'm like, thank you, you know, and I'm pleasant as hell with Clerks because I used to be that guy or that girl. But I can't sit there and be like, oh, the problems of dealing with the public. Like, you know, I'll never be able to make that movie again. And I'm in mid-40s, so, like, that kid's long gone. He's grown up. But that's what makes me interested to see Clerks 3 and why I wrote it and why I fell in love with it and why I want to make it. Because I want to see that kid who made Clerks, that kid who made that punk rock song, his perspective of his characters and his life 20 years later, 20 years in. So the movie is like this weird, I mean, it's certainly not a midlife crisis movie, but it's me looking at life at midlife.
And are you going to shoot it like you have lately, which is to shoot it all, edit it all, and then put it out in a week?
I wish it was that fast.
The guy in a walrus suit?
Oh, that'd be amazing. No, this one we shoot, it looks like we go out in May to Philly, we shoot all of June. Then all summer long, I cut while we shoot and stuff. So, but I'm also in the movie this time, Silent Bob. So, like, the editing will take a bit longer than it normally does. But once we finish up, remember I've been talking about Hit Somebody for years, the hockey?
Yeah.
First it was two movies, then it was a miniseries. Now it's a miniseries, and we go to Northern Ontario in October, through December, to shoot that miniseries. So we'll go from Clerks 2, and I'll do the post as quickly as I can. I have no idea when it will come out. We're shooting at Indie, so I don't even know who's going to pick it up. But then after that, I'll head into that miniseries. And right after the miniseries, Moose Jaws, which is very simply Jaws with a moose.
Yes.
Come on, right?
Get you back to back to back the way you always dreamt of working.
I always talked about it with Ralph. I'd be like, I always dreamed of being like Steven Soderbergh would just hit him and quit him, as my mom would say. Like, he just makes him back to back.
Stop talking about your mom being.
She's my hero, dude.
Come on.
I can't help it.
I have a feeling that Q&A Saturday. a lot of mom questions.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
It's called Oedipus Rex.
All right, let's...
Oedipus for the many things she gave me.
Let's take a quick...
a big portrait on the stage with a light
break.
On.
An evening with Kevin Smith.
See, and his mom.
This is why that night is going to be so fun. I asked a pretty basic, boring question, and Kevin Smith just made me so excited about his life. You know what I mean? With that answer about Clerks 3. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun night in person. CSMOD.com. Tickets available just $25, 18 and up at the Hollywood Improv. Hey, Ralph, you want Mr. Smith to stick around? Maybe do a little G-rated Babylon here?
No way in hell.
Okay. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion in the UFC, Ronda Rousey, joins us later on the program. Also, we'll talk some sports with Jim Rome coming up. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman with his good friend, Kevin Smith. What's up, guys?
You know, we were talking earlier with Kevin about stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and getting your feet and your handprints in cement. This morning, Chris O'Donnell is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Robin?
Boston College.
He went to BC?
Really?
Yes, he did.
What is it? What, for television? Yes, for NCIS LA.
Hit series, I believe you left some letters of the alphabet on there.
They're all in there. Oh, yes. Sorry. The BFD WTF. I forgot those letters. LL Cool J, his co-star, will be speaking on his behalf. It's all happening in front of Jameson's Irish Pub right there at Hollywood and Vine. So if you want to go down and check out Robin getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you can check that out. 11:30 a.m. this morning, Chris O'Donnell gets his star.
You know, if his mom is around, she's so proud.
Oh, and moist. What are you groaning about?
Because when it's my mom, it's one thing. I don't want to make
Mrs. O'Donnell. It's not
Robin's
okay.
Mother.
You talking about
what?
Your mom that way is
That's
better?
Backwards, Kevin.
What's wrong with you?
I know my mom. I know her very well.
What was his big...
someone said.
It was Scent of a Woman, right? That was his big...
Yeah, that was where he broke out.
Yeah. That's right.
And then Circle of Friends.
Who was in that movie with him again?
Ooh. Well, Kevin, I'm so glad you brought it up. Chris O'Donnell kept trying to touch my bunghole.
I don't remember that.
Not in the movie, in my trailer.
Oh, I see.
Ooh.
Why? You should be up there introducing him for this star, Al Pacino.
Should.
I would take a flamethrower to the street.
Nice callback. Well done.
From the Just Let It Go file, there is a new investigation in the works about the plane crash that took the life of Buddy Holly.
And the big
Well, problem. It's about time.
Finally, they're getting to the bottom of this. Where's the black box? Where's the plane?
What's the investigation
about?
How
do you start an investigation now
this
on that?
This plane crash happened in 1959, killed Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper, of course. Inspired the song American Pie, remember, by Don McLean.
The day the music died, right.
That's right. They are reopening the case.
Because?
Because the official ruling of the crash was pilot error. But a pilot named L.J. Kuhn has written a strongly worded letter to the National Transportation and Safety Board saying the board should look into weight, counterbalances, and fuel gauge readings on the rudder. Dude, LJ knows something.
So it's not, he's saying the pilot, it's not the pilot's fault. They crammed this plane full of people, there was enough gas.
It was mechanical error. It was not pilot error, it was mechanical error.
Oh, so it's like the culprit is not another person, it's a robot. Like, I thought they were going to be like, you know who did it? Mark Twain!
Elvis!
Or something like that.
Elvis
like,
killed
like, and Helen Keller! Like, you know, history is collapsing on itself and killing each other, eating their young! Instead, it's just like, you know what killed them? Bad plane. Like,
yes. Helen Keller tried to kill
Buddy. Tell me why that wouldn't have been hot. That sounded like a real, we were going someplace, and then it just ended with like, yeah, sometimes things don't work in life.
Yes. Helen said,
That's
she sounds serious.
She is. She's very upset. She hated Buddy's music.
No. Yeah. We're out of time already. Oh, that's a shame. This is fun. We should do it.
I wonder what happened
sometime,
to the,
Kevin.
What happened to the whole hour? Yeah, I wonder where all the time went.
We should talk about show business news together sometime. Today's celebrity birthdays, Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel & Oates. She's 36 years old today. Eva Mendes is 41. And Eva Mendes is talented and lovely.
Yeah, this is what I don't get about you, Smith, is you're a director who makes movies.
Yes.
Why aren't you casting the Eva Mendezes of the world in your films?
By that, what do you mean?
He casts a ton of hotties in his
Do you mean there's many Eva Mendezes? Because I would argue with you, Bean, that there's only one. How about that? Now it's on you. You hear that, Eva Mendez?
We had Genesis Rodriguez and Tusk.
Nothing wrong with
Very
Genesis.
Very few actresses.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about? Casting actors, casting actresses, or casting a specific ethnicity?
Eva. I believe.
Or casting Eva specifically is what he's talking about.
That's what the question is.
She came over and did a poetry reading event, at my house years ago.
Really?
It's crazy. Like, we had this event where a kid went to the Hollywood Schoolhouse, and they had this, you know, it's a fundraiser for the no greater cause, no more needy cause on this planet than private school children.
That's so true, yes.
There we were having
Who will give them iPads?
It's nuts. I was like, aren't we giving this money to those that don't have? They're like, no. It was for education or something like that within that school. So we put together this Poetry Month, and with a friend of mine, Danielle Milton, put together this really wonderful show of a bunch of people came in and did a poem and left. Carrie Fisher was there. Let me see. Stan Lee came over.
Wow.
Sex Pistols. Johnny Rotten
yeah.
came over. At one point, I watched Stan Lee and Johnny Rotten argue.
What?
Wow. Yeah, because Stan, you know, Stan does. It was fun, but like Johnny Rotten is. Sometimes humor, he's got a specific sense of humor.
Yeah.
Stan has that very, like, I'm a jovial older man type of humor. And, like, look out, youngster, or something like that. And Johnny Rotten was just like, sit down, dad.
Oh, sweet.
Really, it was kind of
funny. You're a super villain. That's what you are.
Yeah, but she came over, Ava Mendez, and read a poem, man. And it was really, like, she came in, it was like a half hour, read and left. She, really wonderful.
It's very cool.
Very cool lady.
Kevin Connolly turns 41 years old today.
He didn't come to my poetry reading, so I got nothing to say about him. He's a good actor, though.
John Frusciante from Red Hot Chili Peppers is 45. Boxing coach Freddie Roach is 55 years old today.
Say it again.
Boxing coach Freddie Roach.
Oh, it's amazing. His name rhymes with his job.
Thank you! How cool is that?
I was listening. I was listening.
Magician Penn Jillette is 60 years old today.
Wow, he don't seem 60 at all. He seems still like a 25-year-old
Maverick. Absolutely.
Love that man.
And musician Eddie Grant.
Oh, no, we're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
That's 12 in the song.
Good God.
We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher.
This makes me want to watch Pineapple Express and pull up my carpets.
Eddie Grant is 67 years old today. Thanks for stopping by, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm going to miss you this week.
I'm going to miss you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the time every week we catch up with our friend Jim Rome. He is the host of the Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on The Beast, 980 AM, right here in good old Southern California. The Jim Rome Show on the CBS Sports Network on the TV at 3, and Jim Rome on Showtime every month. The one thing I know about Mr. Rome is don't bring up horse racing with him. He hates talking about horse racing.
He does.
Hey, Jim. How you doing, man?
Hashtag what's up, fellas. I will hang up this phone if you bring up that horse one more time.
I know. You hate talking about your award-winning horse who's racing again this weekend.
He is, man. I love that horse. What's up, guys?
I know you do. Jim, we got so much good stuff this week to talk about. I know that some people think we're a little bit in the doldrums where we are in some of the seasons right now, but there's so much great stuff going on. But my favorite story is Curt Schilling this week, who turned the tables on some people who were saying some very nasty and, in some cases, illegal things about his 17-year-old daughter. Would you mind bringing our listeners up to speed who maybe haven't heard about this story, Jim?
An amazing story. So Curt Schilling is a pretty polarizing guy generally, but what he does is he tweets congratulations to his daughter for getting into college, pretty benign stuff. But she's 17, and she's attractive, and the world being what it is today, it brought out some of Twitter's biggest scumbags saying some of the most vile, reprehensible garbage you could ever imagine. So I don't know about you guys. I mean, some people might handle that by ignoring it. He takes a bat to Twitter. He IDs the imbeciles. He outs them. He gets one guy fired from his job and another suspended from community college. And I got to say, I'm glad he did it. Because when Twitter's good, it's great. But when it's bad, it's deplorable. And we don't need cowards spitting hate without repercussions.
This is the most high-profile shaming of online bullies that I've ever seen. And you're right. One of the guys who lost his job had a part-time job with the Yankees. Somebody got kicked off of his school radio station. Several people got kicked off of their athletic teams. A couple of them have been suspended or kicked out of college. I mean, he used the power of the internet to track down these people and their real name and where they lived and who their parents are and what their phone numbers were. And some of these people might even get prosecuted for making these gang rape charges,
good,
basically, about what
good
they were going to do to his daughter.
Good. Those morons got exactly what they had coming to them, and I hope those tweets were worth it. Zeros. I mean, you know, you guys know how this is. Like, for instance, I get plenty of hate. I really don't give a damn.
Right.
I've got much better things to do than feed the trolls. I'm focused, for instance, on what I got to get done every single day. But I like that this guy did this, you know, because normally people don't. That's the thing about Twitter. There are no consequences. There are no repercussions. You can hide behind some egg and just talk hate. And as you guys point out, like, spit some criminal things.
Yep.
And these guys got to pay the price. I mean, that's the best thing. I don't agree with everything he's done, but that was a beautiful thing he did there.
And that's what Kurt Schilling actually said. He said, so many people think, oh, Twitter's not real. Yeah, it is real, and there are repercussions mm-hmm. by what you're writing and what you're
doing.
This is
the first time I've ever seen actual repercussions.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time it's ever happened. This is why these scumbags lie in the weeds and do what they do. Aside from being no-lifers, there's no consequences. There's no price to be paid, and he nailed them. So maybe next time, before you think about doing something like that, you'll think about what might happen to you. I mean, good luck getting that off your digital resume. Good luck getting another job when that's out there.
That's a great point, Jim. So before we switch topics, so when you get those kinds of responses, people who just hate you because they hate you, are you able to just ignore them or does it hurt a little?
I mean, nobody ever wants to hear, you know, you suck, your show sucks, I hope you die. I mean, that's not a good day. But at the same time, this is what goes on. You know what I mean? You're going to get that no matter what. I don't care who you are or what you do or what show you do. There's going to be X that love and X that hate. And there's going to be great people and miserable people. That's all part of it. If you can't handle that and you can't roll with it, you shouldn't be on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think you want to say these things about a man's daughter. I think that's where you just went crazy.
No, and right. Can I say, right, not only do you not want to do that, but these same people would never, ever do that to somebody's face.
Right, of course.
That's the thing about Twitter I got an issue with. They would never do it to somebody's face, but they've got that Twitter courage. But now they've got to find jobs.
Let's switch topics to the NFL. As we know, the new league year begins on Tuesday, so there's a lot of rumors swirling around about some of the things that we are going to see. A lot of big names involved. Peyton Manning and his pay cut. LeSean McCoy going to the Buffalo Bills. Allie, you're very sad about your Patriots news this morning about Vince Wilfork. What have you heard that has surprised you, Jim?
Best story of the week. Best story of the week is Chip Kelly doing Chip Kelly things in Philadelphia. I mean, dude, this guy just broke off LeSean McCoy. I guarantee... I don't know about you. I didn't see that coming.
Nope.
Allie probably didn't even see that coming.
No.
I guarantee Shady didn't see that coming. So why does the guy do it? Guys, I always say this. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. And this guy is hell-bent on proving that his system will work in the NFL like it did in college. Like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. My way is the best way. And in my system, no one is irreplaceable except me. I mean, this cat is brass. That is a brass move.
And he's looking at a way to save $20 million over the course of a contract with a guy who's 26, which doesn't seem that old until you look at what NFL running backs put their bodies through. Who knows how many years he's got left, right?
Yeah, can I tell you, the guy's got $50 million under the cap to work with. The only issue, and I saw this note that I think is kind of curious, he's got all this money to spend, but now you've got free agents looking at Chip Kelly saying, no, wait a minute, if he could do Shady McCoy like that, and he can do DeSean Jackson the year before like that, he might do that to me if they bring me in. So the problem is you have all that money, but if you can't give it to the guys you want to give it to, that's going to be an issue. And if I were a player, I'd be real concerned about signing there because if he's doing that to them, what's he going to do to me?
Yeah, good point. Final question from me for Jim Rome. If you're Dana White, the president of the UFC, what do you do with a problem like Ronda Rousey where you can't find anyone who can get out of the first round with her? How do you keep her division in women's UFC fighting alive?
I got to say this. I love her. I love Ronda. She is so awesome.
Yep.
I first met her right when she was blowing up, and I knew she was going to be a star. And I can't say that I'm always right about these things, but she just has this crazy it, and you guys are exactly right. The problem is she might now be the face of MMA. She might be the hottest ticket in MMA, but there's nobody for her to fight. She's so much better than everybody else. So even in a sport, and the thing I like best about MMA is everybody loses. I don't think she can lose unless Dana sticks her in with two or three fighters at the same time or unless another fighter have a weapon or two. I don't see how she loses. She'd probably still win. That's the biggest thing. Who does the other fighter
gets a weapon. That's Jim Rome's advice.
Throw
a bear in there.
It's really the only way to make it work.
How are you
throw
beat
a
her?
Bear in there.
She'd win. She'd,
all right.
She'd get that bear locked in an arm bar.
She'd win with the bear, yeah. The bear would tap.
Where can we see your horse on Saturday, Jim, in all seriousness?
Santa Anita, in all seriousness. Santa Anita, there's a race called the Big Cap, the Santa Anita Handicap, and it's one of the most historic races in the sport. It's one of the biggest races of the year. It is Saturday at Santa Anita. The weather is going to be great. You can go there, get down, have a couple of pops, get some grub. It's going to be an awesome day. And if you come out, hopefully you can get that horse home. And then the party's on me.
And what's your horse's name for people who would like to put down their money?
Shared Belief.
There it
Shared
is.
Belief.
Jim Rome, 9 to noon on the Beast 980 and nationwide all across the U.S. of A. Great to talk to you every Thursday, sir. We really appreciate your time. Have a good week.
#freakingawesome.
tomorrow at noon. Tickets are going on sale for Kevin Devine's April Foolish's 2015. This is our 7th year of doing our night of comedy. It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium. Tenacious D is on the bill. Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Realm. Proceeds, by the way, benefit some great charities, including Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. You should definitely look them up at krock.com. You'll notice that I didn't mention our friend Jonah Ray's name in that list there.
Yeah, he was originally scheduled to be
Jonah Ray was on the announcement that we made on Monday, and we got an email from Jonah on Tuesday that said how excited he was to be asked to be on April Foolishness because he's been a Kevin and Bean fan for a long time, a K-Rock fan. Ever since he moved to Los Angeles back in 2001, he's been listening to us. He loved being a guest on our show and was so excited to be part of April Foolishness. But, as you know, he also does the Meltdown TV show. And he found out on Monday, the day the show was announced, that they had changed his shooting schedule. And he was now going to be unavailable on that Saturday night, April 4th. We couldn't have been more bummed out by that news.
His email subject line was, I am a POS.
Yes, right. We loved Jonah. And we were really, he's so funny. We were really excited about having him on the bill. So I do come to you today with bad news to say that completely out of his control, Jonah Ray is unable to join us on that Saturday, April the 4th. So he will not be part of the lineup. That did free up a little bit of time on the show. And we got some good news yesterday, and we want to introduce you to a young comedian that I think you're going to like, who's on the phone with us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hello there, random person.
Am I on now?
Turn down your radio, sir.
First time caller, long time listener.
I hear myself two times.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, McKay, I love you on the ABC News.
Thank you. It was KTLA, but I appreciate that.
KTLA?
Right.
Yeah.
Is that with Hal Fishman?
It was.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
A lot of bad news.
Can you put your grandson on the phone, please, ma'am?
Hold on, darling. What's the mishigash with the rush? Hold on. We don't want any other eye. I want it to be more like a shit on.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Jay Moore joins us on the phone of the Kevin DeBean Show right now.
Jay got the K
Moore.
And the T pregnant, and the LA fell out of her bottom.
Jay, how are
First
you, man?
Of all, thanks for calling me after Jonah Ray. Way to show your hand, poker players. Well, we had Jonah Ray all lined up. He fell through. So we called Jay Moore as a backup.
That's not freak. The way it was at all, first of all. We like, as you know, on the April Foolishness, we like to have as many different acts new to the show as possible. You have been great and kind enough to have done this show in the past. So we did, and we also didn't want to bug you again. We didn't want to come to you and say, hey, Jay, do us again.
Every single year, please bug me. Because you know what it is? It's not, first of all, it's an honor. I mean, I'm being completely serious. Secondly, as a comic, I've been doing it 29 years, but how often are you in front of 16,000 people? And then what bits, like to me, it's like this matrix of comedy of like, okay, what bits can I do? Like, you got to move the crowd. Like Rakim said, MC means move the crowd. Like, you can't go up there and be like, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? You got 20 minutes, and you're batting leadoff or you're batting third. You got to smash it. So for me, it's an exercise, and rarely as a headliner because we get lazy because we play theaters in front of people, and you're the only reason they're there, so you get to kind of be self-masturbatory, to put it scientifically.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I got 20 minutes, and I'm on a bill with these monster headliners. How do I separate myself from the pack? So I've shrunken myself into a dwarf, and I'm dancing to Gangnam Style.
Is that right? Awesome. It's so interesting to hear you say that, Jay, because we look at you as one of the funniest guys on the planet. You're an A-plus comedian, and I just feel like you could go into any room and win, but you're telling me that your game does get upped a little bit if you're on the bill with, you know, somebody like Fluffy or Ralphie May or some of these other guys.
Well, Iglesias is a monster. Like, yep. He's an actual, like, he's a comedy monster, just walking around, knocking over buildings. The answer is yes. I'm sorry to be long-winded. But look, I just got off the road. I was doing a bunch of theaters. I'm the only reason these people bought tickets. They all have my sense of humor. They all listen to my podcast. So when I'm on stage, I can just kind of go off the beaten path and go down it because they're completely used to me and my voice.
They already love you.
Yes. So you have that leeway. But when you're on a show and it's Gabriel Iglesias, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say who the headliner is. I don't know.
Tenacious D? Tenacious, yes. D,
sure. Climb up on my faithful steed. Everyone on her. Yeah, and then, like, Brad and Adam were like, you got to take it up a notch. Nobody wants to be the – it's like the 1927 Yankees. I mean, who are you going to be in that lineup? So, right. Jonah Ray is Wally Pipp. I am now.
Well, you're Lou Gehrig. Gehrig. You're Lou Gehrig, because you probably don't have much time left.
One day I will drown in my own lung fluid.
That would sell.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Norm.
Hi, Norm. How are you,
Norm McDonald?
Norm McDonald. That's my last name. Yeah. Hey, Lou Gehrig's doctor. That's got to be a weird doctor's appointment, you know? The doctor goes, well, let's hear the good news. Get that out of the way. The good news is, we're going to name it after you. And then Lou Gehrig says, what's the bad news? And he goes, you're going to die.
Well, I hope Norm will be making an appearance on April 4th as well.
He might be. I'm trying to think of a special. Maybe it might be time to blow the dust off of Eddie Vedder and Bono and go full and roll bit. Just spend my entire time doing my rock and roll concert, because then I get to do Mick Jagger and Steven Tyler.
Oh, that's right.
Steven Tyler says sassafras every song. Nobody knows what it means.
Jay, you have always been so good to us, and the fact that you stepped up and you're coming with us on April 4th at the Shrine means the world to us, man. Seriously.
Bro, means the world to me. I just can't believe I got to call it to Jonah Ray. Jonah Ray's a good comic.
Look, we don't want to impose.
You got to do like Nerd Blast, like some nerd show.
Here's the thing, though, Jay.
What's
like,
the matter, honey? You got to be with a bunch of nerds now. Hey, good. You know how many big breasted animals are at the amphitheater? You dummy.
I don't even know what's going on right now.
That was dice.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Tenacious D.
Sitting on it, right?
Gabrielle Iglesias, Ralphie May, just added Jay Moore, also Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, house music by Mike Realm. It's going to be tickets going on sale tomorrow at noon.
Jay.
What are you sitting on, honey?
Wow. Chair?
I think she said it.
Get off the roof, hey. Allie, what are you sitting on, honey, huh?
What's happening right now?
Good. I'll see you in human resources, you animal.
Jay Moore, we love you, man. We love you.
I love you so much. I can't wait.
You're the best. We can't wait either.
6.7 K-Rock.
Yep, I started talking before my mic was turned on by myself.
Well, you're not in control of how that microphone is.
I'm in control of my microphone.
But you can't really, just, you know, it's not up to you when you start speaking, though, right?
Yeah.
That's on somebody else.
Yeah, that just happened.
Go ahead. You want to try it again?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to have Ronda Rousey coming up talking about the UFC 184, which lasted 14 seconds. Very excited about that.
I'm very excited about other things.
What? Rolling?
Yes, this is Rolling.
Where are you? What is that noise?
I'm inside my Iron Man suit of armor.
Why are you dressed up like Iron Man, Roland?
Because I decided to start fighting crime as Iron Man.
Can you take the mask off so we can hear you better?
I'm not sure. I didn't look into that before I put it together. And then I had my friend weld it on.
Oh, I see.
So it's okay. All right. So
hold on.
There we go.
There you go. There's our Roland.
It's hot in there.
I'm sure it is. You're wearing an Iron Man
costume. Some sort of cooling system.
I think so. Hey.
Take that.
Why have you decided to start dressing up as Iron Man?
Because Robert Downey Jr. and I are going to be best friends.
How did that come about? We heard that he was doing a charity event.
Yes.
Where he will do a drawing of somebody that donates to a children's charity, and then they will go with him.
Yes, you go to Obeys, Obeys.com.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you donate at least $10 to Julia's House, which is a hospice for children.
Okay.
And then Robert Downey Jr. was supposed to have pulled a name out of the hat, and that person would be his best friend.
Well, I mean, doesn't say best friend in the paperwork.
Yeah, well, you have to read between the lines.
He says he's going to awesome the crap out of you, though, and you get to go to the Ultron premiere with him.
Yes, and so since I'm going to the Ultron premiere with him, I thought it would be best if I was in my full Iron Man armor.
I don't know that that's going to impress the guy who actually is Iron Man in the movies.
But but he probably needs like a best Iron Man friend. So we can go around together.
Look, Roland.
Hold on a second. I will kill you.
You just barely understand what you're saying.
Roland. It's really hot in there. Yeah. So anyway, I need to borrow some money. That's
it's only ten. It's only $10. That's the beauty of this charity.
$10 for one donation.
Right.
Oh. What are the odds of him picking one name, my name, if I just put one donation in?
Well, so, I mean, probably the same as everyone else, but not.
Right. So
not
I
great.
Need to skew the odds a little bit in my favor.
I see.
Because you get to eat caviar with Robert.
That's true. That is actually true. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It is actually true. I actually need to do that.
You get to okay. go indoor skydiving.
I want to eat the caviar off of Robert Downey
I don't
Jr.
think well, that's an option, though.
Yeah.
I want to taste his fishy goodness.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm asking for is a small loan so I can enter more than once into this omaze.com thing.
All right. You're going to buy what, like 10 tickets? You're trying to get like $100?
I'm thinking a million tickets.
What are you talking
about? I would like to borrow just for $10 million. Just borrow it, and then I'll give it back to you.
How are you going to repay that, Roland?
I will ask Robert to loan me the money. By then, we'll be best friends.
That's quite a lot of
fun for him.
So, what would it be? Debit card? What do you got? Debit card? Check?
I don't think either
cash,
of us...
I'll take cash.
I'm relatively sure neither of us would loan you $10.
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
That's a hell of a thing. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I will destroy you.
Roland.
Feel that?
No. We hear sound effects.
Yeah, it's just sound effects,
it's
Roland.
It's not sound effect. It's real.
It's just you and your basement. That's all it is.
How dare you go? I'm so lonely.
Gene Cheney lives on his tracks.
Wow. We'll play
Remix.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
It is being called Munchausen by Internet. Mm. What's going on with the people who are going online and creating fake tragedies in their life just for attention?
Mm.
That's a thing, Ralph.
That is a thing.
Because there's not enough tragedies
yeah.
in real life.
Not enough bad things
you
happening.
You've got to make some up.
Well, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky about it, then Ronda Rousey. That's all next half hour here on K-Rock. Robinson, now time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
I say we find these people who are obviously lacking in the tragedy department and give them some real tragedy.
Give them some?
Yes. Give them some real tragedy with a knitting needle and a ball peen hammer.
I like it.
All right.
I like it.
You're on my team.
Who's going to make the decision? You?
I think it'll be me. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be me, yeah. Before I get to the show business news... I have got some passes to give away to the premiere of Gunman.
Yay!
The Gunman's in movies, theaters, everywhere. That's where they show movies, right? In theaters?
It is, yes.
The movie theaters everywhere on March the 20th. But the premiere of The Gunman is going to be March 12th at the Regal Cinemas LA Live. Sean Penn, Idris Elba, Javier Bardem. Just a bunch of studs in this movie.
Yeah, that's a great cast, man.
Penn plays a former Special Forces soldier, who's a military contractor who's on the run trying to clear his name from London to Barcelona. It looks outstanding, action-packed. If you want to see the premiere of The Gunman, give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First, five callers through at that phone number will win a pair of passes to the premiere of The Gunman. I couldn't help but notice, and several of the listeners did too, that when you guys were talking about Ronda Rousey with Jim Rome,
yeah.
Allie McKay suggested that she battle a bear.
Right.
We need to get the bottom of Allie's bear fixation.
She does have
a fixation. It's all bears all the time with Allie lately.
They had mentioned weapons. They
said
more than one person.
Right, and you went to bear.
What would be better than a bear?
But then we had the sitcom where people live with the bears.
If the bear was a neighbor.
But that was never identified.
That doesn't exist.
Bean and I both believe it exists.
And then she called Kevin Smith a bear.
Right, oh, you're like an adorable little bear.
I did.
You're a little hung up on the bear.
Wow.
I don't know. Was Winnie the Pooh and a childhood friend of yours, or I can't. I'm not sure what the deal is, but we're gonna get to the bottom of it. Because frankly, we're all
it is an odd fixation.
We're all a little frightened with you and the bears. Not bears. Daniel Von Bargen, character actor who played Mr. Krueger on Seinfeld, was also in Malcolm in the Middle, playing the Commandant Spangler on that show. Super Troopers, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? An amazing career which spanned more than 30 years. He has passed away this week. He suffered from diabetes and had a lot of complications. He was in poor health as of late. In fact, he was so despondent over that condition that in February of 2012, he tried to take his own life with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which he survived.
And, yeah, just a sad, sad ending to a really talented character actor. Daniel Von Bargen passed away at 64. Bruce Jenner has a brand new home to go with his brand new gender. Apparently, he has purchased a new home, a $10 million house.
Wow.
3,500 square feet on 11 acres of land. I don't know. It's a lot of land for a woman to take care of. I don't know if she's up for it.
I'm guessing she is.
You know, Bruce loves those radio-controlled helicopters. I'm betting he's got the land just for his helicopters. It'd be nice to buy a house that's helicopter-friendly, wouldn't it? You can just fly your helicopters everywhere. More Scientology tales told out of school. This time it's the nephew of John Travolta, Sam Travolta, who said that he has been threatened by the religion since he left, has had rumors spread about him that he was psychotic and a pedophile. And while in Scientology, they made him work a 60-hour week and was paid $36 per week for the work.
That doesn't seem fair.
It does not. That's about $2 an hour.
Ralph, how do new people keep joining Scientology to keep it being a viable church? With all these horror stories that we hear about it, how are they able to still recruit new people?
I believe that the people who are searching for something to give their lives purpose and to find some sort of meaning are highly susceptible to the hard sell. And I think Scientology specializes in getting you in and giving you your personality exam and telling you what you want to hear and bringing you along. I mean,
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
How could you turn that down? Someone told me that. I'm in.
That does sound good.
Here's my check. Where's the ship? That's what I'd be asking.
I just feel like, especially in light of some high-profile personalities who have bailed on the church in recent years, I keep feeling like it's going to run out of steam and it's just going to dry up. But it still seems pretty healthy, and it's still got, you know, it's still got Tom Cruise, it's still got John Travolta, it's still got a lot of other big-name people.
Adele Dazeem,
part I think of it. Part of it, yeah.
Sam Travolta tried to take his own life in 2007, at which point he was still in the church, but the members would start mouthing to him, "You are dead," silently, because that's one of the, you can't do that in Scientology. That's one of the
they frown on you killing yourself?
They frown on suicide, yeah. Right. So they would start to persecute him, telling him that he was already dead because of what he did. And not a lot of support for
that
Sam.
That doesn't seem
very... He was going through that. So just really sad news.
And you know what he needed more than anything at that point is psychiatry.
No! How dare you, sir?
Stop being glib.
Yeah.
Last showbiz bit, we mentioned this investigation into the plane crash that killed Buddy Holly.
Yes.
Richie Valens and the Big Bopper. 1959, this plane crashed.
February 3rd. Remember it well.
Sure.
February 3rd.
Wow.
They are...
Pizza first! Burst.
They're talking about reopening the investigation. At what point does it just not matter anymore?
Now. Today.
That's what I would think.
I've been to the crash site, by the way.
Of course. Oh, my Lord!
It won't surprise you guys that there's a little statue there and a little plaque. And if I remember correctly, they've got a little gate that's shaped like Buddy Holly's glasses. And it's a thing. It's a deal.
Did you yell, "Not my Richie"?
No. I didn't.
La Bamba!
I'm just out there weeping into the soil. La Bamba!
Chantilly lace! Just pounding the ground. Anyway, I made light of it, but Jody Yakoda wrote in, apparently there's been some rumors about this crash for some time. She said, when you did the showbiz beat, you mentioned the Buddy Holly investigation. What you didn't mention is the very real evidence that the plane was possibly sabotaged by a disgruntled business associate of Holly's. The man was a music promoter in Texas, and early on in Holly's career, he made a verbal contract to be Holly's manager in exchange for 10% of all his earnings. According to the manager's family, when Holly made it big, he reneged on the agreement, and the manager, being a good old boy, decided to deal with Buddy permanently. In fact, on his deathbed, the Texan allegedly said, "I crashed a plane with Buddy Holly!
I woke up in a new Bugatti! I crashed a plane with Buddy Holly! I crashed a plane with Buddy Holly! I crashed a plane with Buddy Holly!"
So I guess this is a thing now?
Thank you, Jody Yakoda, for that.
That was well done.
That was sweet.
Really.
Didn't
see it coming. Well done.
And when you can tie it into the news of the day.
It was quick.
That's a whole nother level.
That had everything but a bear.
That just it did. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ricky Lindholm, half of Garfunkel and Oates. She is 36 years old today. Eva Mendez is 41. Kevin Connolly is also 41. John Frusciante from Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 45 today. Boxing coach Freddie Roach is 55 years old today. Hear that just trips off the tongue? Boxing coach Freddie Roach?
Yeah.
Awesome that his job rhymes with his name.
Yeah, that's really cool.
He's 55 years old today. Magician Penn Jillette. He's so much more than a magician. How can we just label him magician? He's comedian. He's raconteur. He's bon vivant.
Author.
He is 60 years old today. And Eddie Grant.
Electric Avenue.
And then we'll take it higher. Eddie is 67 years old today. That's all we played about today. Didn't he have some other hits? Didn't he have some other hits?
Yes. Where the hell is Romancing the Stone, Mother Effers?
Where's Out of My Dreams, Into My Car, Mother Effers?
That was Billy Ocean.
Oh, never mind. Then don't play that. That's the one thing I meant to say. I did want to hear one song today. That was the one.
It Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah. Where's that? Where are we playing that?
Where's She Loves You? Yeah. Where's that hit of his? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every week about this time, we catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from K-Rock's Love Line and Dr. Drew on call on HLN, Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Good morning.
Got a weird one today.
Oh, really? Something unusual.
Got a very strange one today. First of all, as a physician, what has your experience been with people who are not hypochondriacs, but people who are faking illnesses for the attention? Have you heard of that? Have you dealt with that personally?
Oh, yes. This is sort of commonly called Munchausen. It used to be called Briquettes or Briquet syndrome. And people that are true Munchausens really don't know they're doing it. They actually, when I've dealt with a true Munchausen, they're sort of disorganized and confused when they end up getting surgery. Munchausen really classically was about repeated surgeries. And when they end up getting these surgeries they don't need, I look back and I go, I told you you didn't need this. They're like, what? They seem confused. They don't remember things.
So they're not doing it on purpose at all.
Not purposely. They do get it for the secondary gain of attention. And you see it more clearly with something called Munchausen's by proxy. Munchausen's by proxy is where mothers typically, most oftenly, will make their children sick or seem sick or take them to the doctor and get procedures as a way of getting attention for themselves. It's very
sick. Wow, that's disturbing. Is that a mental illness?
Yeah, it's a diagnosable condition. And remember, I don't know if you heard that story we covered on HLN, Salt Mom, the woman was pouring salt into their child's gastrostomy tube, making the child sick with salt overload. Finally, the brain swelled and the child died.
Oh.
And she's now in jail for murder with Munchausen by proxy. And there was a kid last week who encouraged her male friend, a teenage friend, to commit suicide. That was sort of a Munchausen by proxy type situation. So good times, gentlemen.
Wow. So let's go back to the Lacey Spears is her name. She's the mommy blogger. She's the salt mom. Christine told us about this. She was just convicted this week, as you mentioned. What did she get out of poisoning her kid? Like, what was the draw for her?
She was a mommy blogger who got tons of attention. This poor mom with this sick child. She's dedicating her life to this poor. And the child was cute, and she was such a perfect mom, and going to doctor after hospital. Nobody noticed that she seemed to move around an awful lot, and as soon as the doctor started zeroing in and going, hey, this chick is sick, she'd move on to another hospital and start all over again.
Oh, my God. Hey, Doc, are you watching Better Call Saul?
I'm dying to. I've not had time to, but okay. I'm a huge fan, so I will.
I know it seems like a random question to ask, but Michael McKean plays a character who's the brother of Bob Odenkirk's character on that show who thinks he's allergic to electricity. And he wraps himself in foil, and he won't allow any lights or any phones in his house or anything like that. And you know, the storyline is still playing out. But the impression that we get as the viewer is it's all in his head. It's just something that he's making up.
Well, of course. But that's going to go more towards schizophrenia. That's more a delusional syndrome. People do that kind of stuff all the time. We see it very clearly with stimulants. People become psychotic using stimulants, and they'll put foil up on their windows to sort of keep things out. And that's just part of disturbed thinking. You know, we don't really know exactly what the biology is, but when people get psychotic, they can start doing weird stuff like that.
Talk to Dr. Drew right now about this Munchausen by Internet, which is kind of the latest incarnation of this. You've seen it in doctor's offices for years, but now there are so many stories about people who are, you know, grown men who are pretending to be, you know, 19-year-old girls with leukemia and stories like that.
God,
I mean,
it's just what, and this is different than the more common thing of what we call somatoform disorder, where people just keep coming to doctors with vague complaints, and they come and they come and they come. These people really get into very elaborate and way down the line with treatments and interventions. And sometimes they kind of know. I imagine the guy, the 50-year-old dude presenting as a 19-year-old with leukemia, I bet he knows a little something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Kevin, your wife will be fascinated to know the Jody Arias verdict is being handed
down. Oh, is that right?
Yes, she's probably one of the only people that matters.
Very invested in that. I'm not sure why, but very invested.
I think the rest of us have kind of forgotten about that or have moved on with our lives, doctor.
No one else seems to care, but I knew Melissa.
Yes, she will.
All right, well, great stuff. Dr. Drew on call again tonight at 6 o'clock on HLN and then at 10 on K-Rock on Loveline. And look for the doc on with Mike Catherwood on KBC this afternoon. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. See
you. You know that that actress from Expendables 3, she's also a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. You know what I'm talking about? Rhonda, what's her? I think she does some fighting. You know what I'm talking about?
Rhonda Rousey, she's on the phone.
She's on the phone!
Yes, she is.
Rhonda, welcome back. How are you, champ?
How are you?
I never heard of that chick. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good.
She's got a lot going on. You really ought to look into her. She's something else. I know we want to talk about the fight and congratulations, first of all, but this whole Sports Illustrated swimsuit thing looks like it was so much fun for you. I mean, it seems like it was really fun for you to do something that was kind of different and just be a woman rather than a woman fighter, right?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience, especially since I got to work with Walter Eos, who's like super legendary photographer, and the whole crew was awesome. But the one thing, though, I will not forget the whole day is the cold. I learned that, like, as the sun is coming up and it is going down, this is the best time to stay for light, and it's also the most freezing time to be in the water. So,
where were you? Where did you shoot it?
We're in Captiva Island off like Florida, but it was like in November.
Oh, it was in November.
So, a lot of times I was smiling through the shivers. I was hoping it wouldn't be like a blurred picture because I was just vibrating.
It's so funny that you're in the ring and you're willing to take shots and you're bleeding and you're in the most violent sport. But man, when it gets cold, woo! Like that's
worth. Like, when it comes like cold and paper cuts, like little things like that, like are just the bane of my existence.
Well, that is awesome. Congratulations on that. You can check out Ron in the Swimsuit Illustrated issue and go to SI.com and you can see the making of the video. It was very cool. All right, let's talk about Saturday night. How'd that go?
It went pretty good. Yeah. You know, as good as I could have expected it to go. I like went through the whole fight, like frame by frame, and there wasn't a single wasted movement the whole time.
That's true. That's very true.
There's few situations where you're like, you know what's the best thing to do right now? A backwards cartwheel off my face. I think that's what really needs to be happening right now. And that situation came up, and I didn't even know until right then. I'm like, whoa, it is one of those backward cartwheels off your face times.
That's so unbelievable. And for folks who don't know or need a memory refresher, we're talking about the fight that was just this past Saturday night, the UFC women's bantamweight title fight with Kat Zingano. And you talked about how you had practiced that but had never practiced it in that direction, like backwards, right?
Well, I mean, I never really practiced that kind of a reversal throw because it's very dangerous even to practice. But the armbar finish, I never practiced it from that angle ever before. I did it entirely opposite way, like facing up. And just in the moment, it seemed like it would work. So what do you know?
That's amazing.
Improvising.
What did you think? Play the devil's advocate for a second here. What did you think about Kat's strategy of coming out at you like that, flying in with that knee at the beginning of the fight? Did you think on paper that seemed kind of sound?
I mean, to be honest, it would have worked on anyone else except for me, I think. And on paper, no one has ever come out and gotten in my face right away in the beginning. Everyone's always trying to keep that distance because I'm known as a grappler. And everyone kept saying, like, oh, she's a slow starter. And I thought that because everyone had that idea that she would come out slow, that she would have the element of surprise right then. And it would put me in the really unfamiliar territory of having someone in my face at the very beginning instead of it being the other way around. But to be honest, anybody else, I don't think, would have been able to sidestep and have that knee miss. And anybody else would have got thrown in that moment instead of vaulting off of their face and jumping to the other side. I mean, there's no way that she could expect that I would do something like that.
Well, I had to actually congratulate you not only for an amazing fight, but the fact that you could fit the entire fight into an Instagram video.
That's true.
In 14 seconds, that was very handy for people that missed it. It was right there within seconds.
It's a good way to promote the next fight.
Isn't it?
Everyone is just on Instagram now. Really, it's like the Insta generation. It's the perfect way for the next one to get some real visibility.
So, Rhonda, you had all that energy. You told us, we just spoke with you last week, and you told us you were in the best shape of your life. You felt great. You went in there. You had a plan. It worked. You won. You did your interviews. You've got all this energy. Now what? Like, what did you do the rest of the night after that fight only lasted such a short period of time?
Wings.
You
must have had a lot of energy to burn.
I ate one of those. Yeah, and I had one of those big, giant, like, cookie pizzas.
Ooh, a pizookie?
Yeah, it was big.
Nice.
Yeah. Sweet. And the thing is, though, like, I usually pass out asleep fight night, but I just got sponsored by Monster Energy Drink, so I'm, like, sitting at a press conference, and everybody else is drinking Monster except for me. So I'm like, well, I'm the one that's sponsored. I should drink it, right? So I pop the thing open. I just got the sponsorship. I hadn't had an energy drink in years. Oh, my God. I was awake the whole night. Everybody had celebrated. Everybody had ate. I ate 50 wings. I was, ate a giant sundae. I was, like, reading hundreds of pages of Game of Thrones by the end of the night. I was ready to be more productive after I had that.
That's the best commercial I've ever heard for a Monster energy drink.
And Rhonda, I would like to go back just before the fight, though, because I always find it funny to look at your face pre-fight and how you rush to the ring and the security guards are trying to keep up and the poor cameraman that's trying to back up and keep you in frame. It's like you're trying to leave everybody behind. I love that.
Yeah. The camera guy was so hilarious this time because he, like, tripped and fell, like, three times. By the time that I got out of the arena, I was on my way out, he tripped again. He was, like, swearing at himself, like, really loud. Like, God! I was really ruining his night because I just got places to go. I'm not ready for you, Ginger Rogers. You got to take those steps backwards fast. Like, stairs coming through.
We are talking to the UFC's Rowdy Ronda Rousey here on the Kevin Amin Show. Again, another decisive win at UFC 184 this past Saturday night. How are you adjusting to the celebrity aspect of this job, Ronda? You got into it because you love the fighting, but now people are, everything you say makes news now. What's that been like for you?
It's kind of weird that I have to be more vague with everything that I say now because, I can't just, say, a restaurant name in, reference to something to prove a point, I can't say someone at the Home Depot cashier. I have to say a hardware store cashier. I have to be cautious about naming certain companies because they'll might not be happy with whatever point I'm supposed to be making. Like, that's a little bit frustrating if I have to think about, there are consequences to every word. You could talk for 2 hours and then one sentence couldn't be worded right, and that'll be all up on the news the next day, and that sucks.
Yep. Still a pretty good job, though. Still seems like you're having fun.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm on the best board rock right now. I'm chilling with my friend and my dog.
Well, you have to go back.
No one's looking at me right now. They're like, "What? She's on K Rock right now."
Well, there have been a lot of. I know you got to go here, Rhonda, but there have been a lot of discussions in this past week. People are trying to find something to compare you to in terms of somebody who has dominated an entire sport the way you have. I mean, you are a once in a generation fighter, and it has been so much fun to watch you. And we can't wait to see what you do next. And you're always very generous with your time. We love having you on the Kevin Amin Show. Congratulations again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on again.
Thanks. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. What the hell's going on?
Well, I got some stuff to give away besides the show business news. One of my favorite times of the year, every year, is Paley Fest.
Yay!
Paley Fest, for those of you who aren't familiar, is the annual event that the Paley Center for Media puts together each and every year, where they celebrate the best in television, past and present, and they have...
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I didn't even yet. And they have a long festival to celebrate the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite
TV shows. This year, it's an amazing lineup. Well, they have every year, it's an amazing lineup. But this year, they will be paying tribute to Homeland, Comedy Central, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and the Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and many more.
We got a winner!
And each year, it's my great pleasure to team up with the Paley people and give away tickets to these events because they're always sold out. But if you listen to us, we're going to hook you up. You know, if you want to buy tickets, I think you probably still go to paleycenter.org and sign up and become a member to the Paley Center and see if you can get some tickets. But if not, and you'd like to go see Homeland, an evening with Homeland, or an evening, which is a salute to Comedy Central. They're going to have reps from all the Comedy Central shows for that evening. If you'd like to go to either of those, call
right
now. We
have a winner, believe it or not.
1-800-520-1067. Let's say March 6th is the Homeland event. So the 6th caller will get Homeland. And the 7th caller on March 7th, they're doing the salute to Comedy Central, will get the Comedy Central tickets. The 7th caller will be that.
That's this weekend. That's Friday and Saturday.
That is this weekend. You're absolutely right. Boy, it's happening quick. Get on the phone. Call now and we'll get right back to you.
Nope.
What? I heard a guy on the radio
say
that.
Why would he ever say that?
Why wouldn't it be the way it works?
I'm in.
Chris Brown baby situation is just begging for a Maury Povich intervention. I mentioned yesterday that he has a 9-month-old little girl with a former model, quotes, named Nia Gonzalez. But apparently there's trouble in paradise. There's a man who goes by Royalty Yaye Ba on Instagram. He claims he's been raising the little girl for the past 9 months, and it's the saddest day of his life when Nia broke the news to him that he wasn't the father because previously said that he was.
Now,
it's like the Oprah show. You're the father, yeah. You're the father, you're the father. Everybody gets a baby.
Look, I don't know any of the circumstances beyond what you've described here, but do you think she bailed on him being the father, even though he was the one who was there kind of taking care of the kid because she thinks there's a bigger payday down the road with Chris Brown, maybe?
Well, by all accounts, they're sort of pals, him and this model. They have photos of her at all his parties and stuff, everything, so I'm guessing it was just probably a one-off. And surprisingly, Chris Brown does not believe in contraception.
What?
As far as I can tell, he did not use a condom in this situation.
He seems such a responsible young man.
So, I don't know whether she's planning cashing in or not. I guess that would be the ultimate goal, right?
Because why upset the apple cart if you've got a guy who's there being the father?
Right.
You know?
Look, I don't know anything about fruits. I don't know about the fruit vendors. I don't know if there's apple carts involved. There's a farmer's market.
Just an expression.
But Karrueche Tran, who is Chris's longtime girlfriend, has broke up with him yet again in light of all this, tweeting, "Listen, one can only take so much. Best of luck to Chris and his family. No baby drama for me." She tweeted.
That guy's bad news in every way, isn't he?
No, he's a fine, upstanding young gentleman, and I think we should all aspire to be more like him. He's just a punk.
Yeah.
They got these photos of him and his parties with this girl, and just him and his just douchebag friends just being all douchey. No good. Yeah. No good.
He's the worst.
He really is.
You know, we talk about, sometimes we've done this as a phone topic, of the celebrity that you dislike so much that you can't enjoy their art. Like, there are people who can't listen to Bill Cosby now or watch Woody Allen or whatever.
Right.
That's how I am with Chris Brown. I refuse to give any of his songs a chance because he's so despicable as a person.
I hear you. Hey, speaking of Woody Allen, did you hear the news?
No.
Asperger's syndrome?
No.
Yeah. Sally Hawkins, who was one of the stars of Blue Orchid?
Jasmine.
Mm-hmm. Did an interview, and I guess she thought it was common knowledge, but apparently she let the cat out of the bag.
How
but
about
he
that?
He's got Asperger's syndrome.
Diagnosed, or how you joke?
It seemed like from what she was saying. Well, with Bean, it's real too.
Okay.
But from what she's saying, it sounded as if it was something Woody is aware of and had shared with her.
It was a given, and she thought it was already out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oops. So there you go. Interesting. Musical news, My Morning Jacket fans will be happy to know they're releasing their new album on May the 4th. The band's 7th full-length effort is called The Waterfall, and you can hear the first single, Big Decisions, over at mymorningjacket.com, if you want to check that out. While we're talking about new music, Violent Femmes have their first new song in 14 years that was released this week. It's part of a 4-song vinyl EP called Happy New Year that'll be coming out on April 18th, which, not coincidentally, is Record Store Day. It'll be featured in record stores everywhere. It's
open up a blog.
It's an EP that's pressed on translucent champagne-colored vinyl. Oh, sounds delicious.
It does.
If you'd like to hear the new Violent Femmes song, I think we have a little taste of it here. It's called Love, 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 Love.
Some say they know it when they see it, while others follow it blind. Some science appliances made it all calculated. It's just a chemical imbalance in the weaker mind. I want love, 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 love. Love, 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 love.
I like those Violent Femmes. We've had them play a number of our shows over the years. Weenie Roast, Acoustic Christmases, fun band.
They sure are. Kevin's making a face. What's the matter with you?
I love it.
You don't. You're making a face.
I love that song more
than
life.
I do not love the Violent Femmes.
I love it. I love it.
I think you're being facetious.
How dare you?
It's too old for Kevin.
Because it just came out today?
It came out 2 days ago.
Here is...
Wait, it wasn't recorded today,
no.
Though. This sucks.
It wasn't. We didn't pipe it in directly from the studio from where they're working. This is surprising news. Prince played basketball in high school.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's an old Dave Chappelle bit that legendarily said he played basketball, but it looks like it was indeed true. The Minneapolis Star Tribune's archives has an article with photo of Prince suited up to play at Bryant Junior High and later on at Central High. He played football and baseball and basketball. He made the Central High junior varsity basketball team. He's 5'2". How bad were the other players at Central High?
But Ralph,
were they on wheelchairs? Was he the only able-bodied person on the court?
I know he is short. But you've seen the photos. With that afro, he's like 6'8".
That's true. If he hid the ball in his hair, he could get down the court and no one would even know he was carrying
Maybe
it.
Maybe that was a trick.
It's a fantastic
the old,
afro.
The old Harlem Globetrotters trick play where he'd hide the basketball in his hair.
He is the least likely star to have been athletic as a teenager.
I agree.
Well, I mean,
I've seen him in concert.
He seems like he's athletic,
he
but
does
he's so
splits.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's tough at 5'2".
Yeah, but it's tough to play
even
football.
In high school.
Football, baseball, or basketball are tough at that height.
He was a triple threat.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of celebrity birthdays, this email just came in from Robert Sibri, one of our listeners. It was 5 years ago today that I had the thrill of photographing one of my favorite bands of all time, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, for Warner Brothers Records. My wife, Darby, also a super fan, decided she would take it upon herself to bake a cake for their guitarist, knowing he was turning 40 that day. When the band got to the studio, I realized that he was no longer part of the lineup, and we had to hide the cake with his name on it before things got awkward. After all these years, I just want to say that what I didn't get a chance to say on that day. Happy birthday to John Frusciante!
I woke up in a new Bugatti. Happy birthday, John Frusciante. Happy birthday, John Frusciante. Happy birthday, John Frusciante.
Stop it! John Frusciante, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 45 years old today.
Stop it!
Kevin Connolly's 41.
Stop it right now.
Eva Mendes is also 41.
Shut up! Just stop it! Stop it!
Nikki Lindholm from Garfunkel and Oates is 36.
Kevin and Bean, stop it.
Right.
Boxing coach Freddie Roach is 55. Magician Penn... What?
I said I'm out.
Oh, you're out of
I'm out of stop it.
Penn Jillette, 60. And musician Eddie Grant turned 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dev Patel on the program talking Chippy. We have
Chappie.
I wrote
yes.
Chippy.
Hi, I'm Chappie. My name is not Chippy. Dumbass human.
Jimmy's aunt Chippy? Is that
Kimmel's
aunt
Chippy. Yep.
Well, they're both robots.
Yeah, well,
his
I'm not sure that's true.
And the star of this movie.
Comedian Eddie Ift will be in studio. We have Kelly Rohrbach. Sports Illustrated model. We have Terry Crews, who's the best human ever. And we have Cal Penn in studio as well. Big
and
show tomorrow.
Chippy.
And Chippy as well. And tickets for the 2015 Kevin and Bean April Foolishness tomorrow.